This is Audible.
Good evening, all. Yes, it's me, Tom Forrest, back on Saturday nights again. Well, as most of you knows by now, a fair few things have been happening in Ambridge this week. But, well, other things have happened too. I mean, for instance, I was going round the estate this week with a surveyor chap, and we happened to see a couple of rabbits back. Aha, rabbits. Now, I'm a bit of an old-fashioned bloke myself, and I always thought, in fact, I ain't entirely convinced otherwise now, but I always thought that if you did something really vital, like put myxomatosis among the rabbits, that the balance of nature'd be upset. And not only that, but any chap as a got a gun, he likes to fetch it up to his shoulder and put a left and a right at a bit of bouncing white scutter disappearing through the bracken. Anyway, this chap as I was going round with the estate with, he told me something that's made me think. He said he'd been talking to some scientist chaps at his club, and what they told him was this. They'd been working on this mixy trouble, and what bit of evidence they'd got, they reckoned that if rabbits did come back, there'd still be a good many, well, they wouldn't say how many, mind, but there'd still be a good many as would still suffer from the disease. So it'll always be with us, see. So I says to this chap, I says, well, what about the birds and mammals as used to eat rabbits? And he said, well, they've managed somehow, haven't they? Of course all you had to allow is they had. And then he said, it ain't so long ago as there wasn't any rabbits at all in this country. So what we got to do now is to get back to the time before we had any rabbits. And then that'll please everybody. Well, there you are. That's one point of view. And I ain't pretending as folks won't argue about it, because they will. Still, I'll leave that with you to think about while I'm telling you what's been happening in Ambridge this week. Well, now, last Friday, Mr. Fairbrother offered Phil a directorship sometime in the future when he gets round to forming a company to take care of the farm business. So to celebrate this, Phil decides to take Grace away for a long weekend to the seaside. And when they arrive there, they found young Isabel Workman, the wife of a fisherman away at sea, who was supposed to give him a room. They found Isabel in bed with a scalded foot. Of course, Grace insists on taking charge of the household and Isabel's baby for the weekend. And we start this evening with Isabel saying goodbye to Grace and Phil.
Oh, well, that's got the bag packed.
Honestly, I feel awful about this.
Oh.
You've done nothing but work and look after the baby all the weekend.
Oh, don't worry, we enjoyed it. Thanks for change.
Yes. It might at the present. You wait till you get a couple of kids of your own.
Ah, that'll be the day.
Look, why don't you stay on for another couple of days? My sister'll be here in an hour and she can do all the chores while you two go out and enjoy yourselves and see the sights. Mm. Well, I mean, it's a lovely morning. It's a pity to waste weather like this.
It is a glorious morning. What about it, Phil?
Well, I'd like to, but it can't be done.
Oh, what a shame. I do feel a fraud.
It might have been possible if we hadn't got the autumn sale on, Grace, but I'll have to get back.
You know best.
You see, I've got a bloke coming this afternoon to discuss details of the sale and so on, and I have to be getting the ring ready tomorrow for Wednesday.
Toothbrushes.
Pardon?
Toothbrushes. Have you remembered to put them in?
Well, they're in the case. Oh, no, I can't think they're still in the bathroom.
I don't know. These men, worse than children, got to be behind them all the time, haven't you, Isabel?
Yes.
I'll go and get them.
All right. Anything you want before we go, Isabel?
No, thanks. I say, you have been good to me. Oh. You've no idea how awful I feel about this weekend.
Oh, don't worry about it. Made me feel sort of domesticated pushing a pram about.
Well, I'm surprised how baby took to Grace.
Mm.
He isn't usually so good with strangers.
Yeah, she's got talents I never knew existed.
Toothbrushes. And that's everything.
Ah, good.
That's it. Well, we'll say goodbye, Isabel. And thank you for a lovely weekend.
Oh, it wasn't really.
It was. It was a marvellous break, wasn't it, Phil?
Yeah, certainly was. Cheerio, Isabel.
Goodbye.
Let us know when you score the other foot.
I certainly will.
Well, goodbye, Isabel.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye. Safe journey home.
Thanks. Oh, gosh.
What?
Wouldn't we do have given her something for having us?
Oh, don't worry. I slipped a couple of pounds under the baby's pillow.
Oh, good.
Well, are you going to drive or shall I?
Oh, you drive. I want to have a look at the paper.
Eh? A lovely morning like this. Don't you want to see the countryside?
After I've seen the paper.
let the young'uns have a shot.
Oh, here we go again. Yeah.
What young'uns are there who can sing down the veil as well as you and me?
Your trumpet has sickened and died a long time ago, didn't it?
Well, go on. If you wanted someone in Ambridge to sing down the veil, who would you pick? Apart from us,
nobody.
You're assuming that anybody in Ambridge wants to hear anybody sing down the veil. They've been down the veil so many times with you and me, they've worn their path away.
A special request from John Tregoran, and we can't very well refuse. So the sooner we get in training, the better. When you come down the veil...
There you are, you see, you're as flat as a pancake. Yeah, you're fast, it looks.
Flat my foot.
When you come down the veil of... There you are, that's more like it.
You're sharp. That's always your trouble, Dan.
Dear.
Nice voice, but have to go a bit sharp.
I bet you $5 you do sing at the concert, sharp or flat.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, did you see that representative, Dan? I sent him out to you on the top field. Fertilizer, wasn't it?
That's it. Mm. Reminded me to order right away and get me rebate.
And did you?
Of course. Should have been a mug if I didn't. I must remember to check with Phil that he's ordered. Might have slipped his mind with this weekend he's just taken. I don't know. Some folks can do it all right. Only wish I could take a weekend off when I feel like it.
Well, so you could if you didn't get rid of your best worker.
That subject's closed, and I didn't get rid of him. For the 100th time, he got rid of himself.
Oh, Len's all very well, but you need Simon as well.
And talking of Len, Dad, he should have seen no sheepdog trials on Saturday.
By golly, aye, he should that. I looked in at Mrs. P, specially to watch
it. If we had a set of our own, we could be independent.
Independent television at Brookfield as well as in London, eh?
Yeah, but that farmer Wilson, the one who won, him and his two dogs, see, what are the names there? Bill and Nat.
Mm.
Bye, they could handle sheep all right between them.
Mm. Look at Lass there by the stove. She knows what you're saying.
She should have been with me watching the TV. Might have given her a few ideas, eh, Lass? Never mind. You might not be as good as Bill and Nap, but we wouldn't swap you, would we, old girl, eh?
Over my dead body.
Grace and Phil back, Dan.
Yes, I saw Phil for a second or two.
Oh, yeah. Did they have a nice time?
Oh, from what he says, they spent all their time baby-minding and looking after the house.
Oh?
Grace's friend had scalded her foot and her husband was away.
Oh, I say, what a rotten shame. They must have had a thoroughly disappointing weekend.
Oh, I don't know. Phil spoke as though they enjoyed it.
Mm, baby-minding, eh?
Ah.
Ah, and they enjoyed it. Now, that might be the best thing that could have happened.
Eh?
Well, they wouldn't have enjoyed it if Grace hadn't been perfectly happy. And if Grace was perfectly happy baby-minding, why then?
Why then what?
Never you mind.
I don't know about you, Mum. I bet she starts knitting tiny woolen garments within the week. And all because Isabel Workman scalded her
voice. Nothing of the sort. I never said a word. All I said was... Come on in, Simon, and give over chopping that wood. It'll be too dark to see what you're doing before long.
Hey?
Come on in. You've done enough for one day.
Right, Obis. I'll knock off now.
I've had the stock pot on, and it's good and thick and seasoned up well. Would you like a bowl of soup?
Oh, no, thank you. I reckon I'll walk down and get myself a pint a bit later on.
Simon?
Aye?
You haven't said much about your job lately, with Carol, I mean.
It's all right, I suppose.
But you don't talk about it. Not like you used to talk about what you'd been doing all day at Brookfield.
Well, there ain't much to talk about. Clearing out old tomato plants, digging in muck. Ain't much to talk about in that now, is there? It's the sort of job any fellow with a strong back could do. Just labouring, that's all. You've only got to know how to use a spade and fork.
You ain't satisfied, are you?
Well, it gets me money.
That's no answer.
No, I suppose it ain't.
What's up, then? Can't you tell me?
Oh, I'm a silly old fool, that's what, Bess. Ought to have had more sense at my time of life.
What do you mean?
Well, we ain't got many years to go either on us. Ought to have left well alone, that's what I ought to have done. Ought to have stopped with Dan Archer and been content.
Ah, that's what I told you.
Oh, I know. Well, it was the biggest mistake I ever made in my life, leaving Brookfield.
Why? Don't you like the job with Carol, then?
Got no interest. She's only labouring.
Why don't you tell her as you ran the small holding for Dan Archer not so many years back?
Her knows. And her knows I wasn't much cop at it and all. It just ain't my line, Bess. You see, I'm only an ordinary chap. I don't make no claim to be a clever, smart, alecky sort of bloke. But I can turn me hand at a job or two.
Oh, well, I don't know, I'm sure.
It makes a bit of variety. Helps the day along when you go from one job to another. Bit of edging, perhaps. Bit of thatching. Bit of ploughing. Bit of milking. Daft to leave Brookfield, I was.
Why don't you go and ask Dan Archer if he'll have your back?
Now, how the devil can I do that?
Well, why not?
Oh, don't be so daft. Couldn't go up to the bloke cap in hand begging for a job again. What sort of a chap do you take me for?
Well, I reckon he'd have your back.
Oh, then he'll have to come and ask me. Besides, I ain't going to chuck me job in with Carol after doing only a week or two.
But if it's making you miserable...
Hang it all, I ain't miserable.
Well, irritable then. Look at you now, pretty near biting me head off.
Sorry, lass. Ah, well, I think I'll have a swill and go down to the Bull for one.
Of course. Carol might give you some different jobs before long instead of that everlasting digging.
Some hopes.
Oh, well, you'll just have to be patient, Simon. You'll have to lump it till it gets a bit better.
Oh, I know. I know. Digging and carrying pots of chrysanthemums from one place to t'other. That's all I'm fit for, so he thinks. Maybe he's right and all. Maybe I am getting too blessed old to be useful anymore.
Hey, up there, Walter. Is that all you got to do?
Oh, I'll do, Dan. Well, got to make a proper job of this here pole, you know. Got a lot of money on it.
Look, have you finished with those tools of mine you borrowed a fortnight ago?
Yeah, so you're right. Blessed if I knows about you, Dan, lad. You and Simon.
Eh?
Yes, being such a pair of stubborn, stick-in-the-mud, stiff-necked mules.
What the devil are you talking about?
To think the day had come when Dan Archer of Brookfield Farm would be running round chasing up a sword and a spook sheen.
I just happened to be wanting to use them, that's all. What's so funny about that?
Oh, nothing, nothing. Suppose you got a few running repairs to do, eh?
I have. And considering you're supposed to be the finest woodworker and carpenter in Ambridge, I reckon it's a poor do if every time you want to do a job, you've got to borrow somebody else's tools.
Is Dan Archer of Brookfield. He running repairs. Oh, dear. Oh, Lord. Oh, dear.
Well?
Yeah, suppose you'll be cleaning out the ditches and cutting your edges back tomorrow, eh?
Yeah, I shouldn't be surprised. It's what most farmers who are worth calling farmers are attending to. Why not me?
Oh, and what are the other sort of farmers are doing then, eh?
Making greasy poles, I should say.
Ah, you wrong all ends up there, Dan Archer. Farmers what I'm worth calling themselves farmers, I'm getting the edging and ditching done be capable farm workers, such as Simon Cooper, not doing the job themselves.
Well, if you'll mind your own business and let me have me saw and me spoke shave, I'll be getting on.
Aye, now, don't start being hoity-toity with me, Dan, lad. Just because I touched it on a raw spot now.
Look, I'm in a hurry, Walter.
Aye, well, you can't have the spoke shave because I'm using it. And your big son, Jack, happens to be using mine. Here, I tell you what, you can borrow it back for an hour or two.
You awkward old devil, you.
Oh, there
they are, too. Hello, Tom.
What's up, then, Walter? Got no work?
Now, you got room to talk, Tom Forrest. Sign for your brothers away on holiday. When the cat's away, eh?
Oh, hark who's talking. Well, is that all you got to do, then?
Yeah, reckon it'll pay dividends a Saturday any road when you tries to climb it.
Hello, Walter.
Phil.
Hello, Phil.
Uncle Tom.
How do, Phil? Then see ya. Old Fatty Forrest, he always in the road.
On a day like this, it seems a shame to work, doesn't it? Glorious day again. All you want to do is walk about taking deep breaths.
Not on Walter's farm, surely.
I smell sweeter than not. All this has done.
Ooh, some nuts.
Talking about the weather, though, makes you feel thankful we get our own particular brand in this country, don't it? I mean, fancy being in America, sitting there waiting for that hurricane to make up its mind where to go next.
Yes, right there, Uncle Tom. There's Hurricane Hilda down in the Gulf of Mexico and Hurricane Ione flooding around Virginia and... We may never get a clap of thunder.
Mind you, I reckon the only way old Walter's ever likely to win that bet about the polecat is to get one of the hurricanes to pick the thing up in America and shoot it over here.
What about it, Walter? Still trying to back out? You've only got till tomorrow, mind.
Never find a Gabriel backing out.
Not much. But what brings you here, Phil?
Oh, I've got the horticultural advisor to the county agricultural executive coming here next week.
Oh.
Yes, thought I'd remind you, Walter.
Eh?
He's looking round the whole estate, so that'll include your farm.
Yeah, well, I don't know nothing and grow nothing horticultural.
You mean you don't grow nothing, full stop?
I know that.
Anyway, it might be an idea to tidy the place up a bit, Walter. Wouldn't do any harm.
Tidy up? All you folks think about is tidying up. Well, there's muck, there's money, remember.
Yeah. In that case, you should be a millionaire.
Yeah, I ain't as rich as you. You can afford to sack a fine worker and do all the dirty work yourself.
Yeah, I'm going. Can't stop here argy-bargying with you, you cantankerous old cuss. And as for that greasy pole
there, I know. Hey, where are you going there in such a hurry?
I've got to pop in and see Carol Gray.
Oh, Carol Gray. Annie, they tell me she's got a fine new worker on that small holding of hers. A chap by the name of Simon Cooper.
Oh, be thanks of a lot of you. I never met such a crowd of folks for running other people's affairs. Never.
Oh, that got him rattled, comrade. He nibbled at that all right, poor old Dan. Dirty work, Dan, they called him.
Careful.
Oh, Simon?
Yes, Miss Grace.
When you finish shifting those boxes of freeziers in under glass, you can help Woodward put up some supports for them.
Well, how do you do that, then?
Oh, it's quite simple. Woodward will show you. Drive in some posts at intervals with rough wooden cross pieces, and then unroll some of the galvanized pig netting across them.
All right, I'll then.
It's quicker and easier to do it that way than going to the trouble of putting up an elaborate trellis and using carnation twine.
Oh, I suppose it is. What about the rest of the pot crescents?
Oh, yes, I want those carried in, too.
Right, I'll see about it straight away. Then.
Thanks.
Hello, Carol.
Oh, hello, David. Got Mr. Archer with you.
Hello, Carol.
What's this, going into the health centre for a rest cure, Mr. Archer?
Yeah, that'll be the day. Here, I ought to have done this before, but it slipped my mind.
What's that?
Simon's cards. I should have let you have them before, but I just didn't get around to it.
Oh, thanks.
Oh, Miss Gray, when you said wire netting... Oh, hello, Gaffer.
I just brought your cards down, Simon.
Oh, I see.
What was it you wanted, Simon?
Oh, nothing. It'll wait. Plenty of time to talk about that later on.
Oh, all right.
How is he? Is he settling down all right?
Oh, yes, I think so.
Yeah.
Of course, it's rather a problem to give him something to do that's any better than a straightforward labouring job. I think he realises it, too.
Yes, but if he's a craftsman, it's a pity he doesn't have a chance to use his talents, isn't it?
Well, I certainly can't give him the varied sort of jobs he did at Brookfield.
You think he'll stick to it then, Carol?
I don't know. Why? Do you want him back?
It isn't a question of what I want, Miller. He chose to back up, so that's his business.
Hello? Do I hear somebody standing on their dignity?
If a chap gives his notice, you can't stop him, Dr. Cavendish. Dash it all, I didn't force him to go. He chucked it of his own free will.
Oh, that's where Simon and President Perron differ, then.
Yes. I wonder what it's like living in a country like that.
Well, life's never dull, apparently.
Yeah. That your freezer Simon's carrying again, Carol?
Yes.
You think you'll do all right with them?
Well, I hope so. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping to have a constant supply of flowers for market for about 3 months.
What's the idea of the different markings on the boxes?
Different colours.
Oh.
I don't suppose you're interested, really, but the fact is that although you sell them in mixed bunches... Each colour group has a slightly different habit of growth, so it's better to grow each one separately and then mix them when you do your bunching.
Oh, well, we live and learn. You in a hurry for just 5 minutes, Mr. Archer?
Why?
Well, if you'll wait while I have a quick chat to Carol about growing my compost stuff, I'll run you back to Brookfield.
Oh, righto, thanks. I'll just have a stroll round if I may, Carol, to see how things are doing.
Yes, do.
Got a minute or two to spare before the afternoon milking. I'll see you a bit later then, Dr. Cavendish.
Ah, there she is, hunched up over her hot little stove, getting the old man's supper ready.
Oh, don't be a clock. Finished for the day?
Yeah. Anything new?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, well, what's for supper tonight? Sausage and mash, faggots and peas.
Wait and see. There. Look. Is that to your taste?
Partridge? Oh, wacko. You've been poaching.
You seem to forget my father owns most of the shooting round here, young man.
Whoops. Beg your pardon.
Go on, get yourself washed. It's just ready.
All right. Sink covered up with saucepans and paraphernalia.
You could wash in the bathroom, of course.
Oh, I miss all the cooking smells. Oh, no fear.
What have you been doing till now?
Oh, getting everything ready for the autumn sale tomorrow. I've quite a bit to go. 15 cows culled out, 25 in-calf heifers, 8 barreners and 2 yearling bulls. Ought to bring in quite a crowd.
Oh, good. You calf.
Oh, all right. There's one thing I like more than a partridge, it's a brace of them.
You know, I think I'll send a couple to Isabel Workman, just as a gesture.
Oh, yes, why not? Oh, best cutlery and glass out on the table too, eh? What are we celebrating?
Nothing. I just thought it would look rather nice.
Yeah, it does too. Oh, good law, and wine.
I went home and raided Daddy's cellar.
Ah, clever girl. Hey, come here a minute.
Well, something wrong?
Absolutely nothing. This is for being a clever girl.
The partridge will get cold. Don't want it to spoil after all my slaving over the stove, do you?
Oh, of course not. A beano like this is sort of extending the holiday. A good weekend, wasn't it?
Lovely.
I didn't mind pram pushing a bit. Do you think anybody thought it was ours? What's the matter?
Mm?
Well, I made a gag. No reaction.
Oh, I was just thinking.
Oh? What about?
Well, I don't know. I suppose it's silly, really, but, well, having to take care of Isabel's baby over the weekend and all that.
Yeah?
I think perhaps you were right after all, Phil. And I was wrong.
Hmm. What about?
Waiting 5 years.
Huh?
For a family of our own.
Oh.
I mean, it's been rather selfish on my part to insist on waiting a while. I'm beginning to realize that now, and the weekend rather brought it home to me. Well, I didn't do too badly managing Isabel's baby, did I?
Too badly? Why, you're an absolute natural.
Yes. That's what I'm beginning to feel myself. You were right, so let's forget all this waiting 5 years nonsense, Phil.
I know for certain there ain't no polecats in Long Spinney. And as for saying meet me at 10 o'clock prompt and I'll show you one, that's just plain crazy.
Well, I'm only telling you, Tom, that's what Walter said. 10 o'clock at Long Spinney.
Well, you know as well as I do there ain't no polecats in Long Spinney.
Well, I haven't seen any, I'll say that.
And as for expecting one to put in an appearance smack on the dot at 10 o'clock, it just don't make sense.
Go on. Over this towel, will you?
Righto.
There's Walter, look. He's already there.
Well, I'm blowed. So he is, that daft bism.
He's making signs for us to be quiet, too. Hey, you don't suppose the old scamp's really seen one, do you?
Well, if he has, he'd ought to take more water with it.
Yeah, well, are you put your blinking green feed down, Tom Forrest? Wasn't an army on the move.
Look at the saucy vibe.
He opened the dodge out of the bed by making so much row you frightens the blessed things off, eh? You call yourself a gamekeeper. I could feel the ground shaking and trembling under the soles of me boots every time you put your foot down.
This is where we get the excuses. Come on, give us your old hat and be done with it.
Oh, no, me old beauty, oh, no. I'm going to give you the shock of your life. Here, now come along with me and keep quiet.
All right. Come on, Dan.
Yeah, I'm glad you come, Dan, because I want an independent witness to this, you know.
Oh, come on, get on with it. I haven't got all the blessed day,
no,
you know.
No, neither have I. You're just wasting her time, Walter, and well, you knows it.
Hey, now, look, I had till today to show you the polecat in Long Spinney, right?
Right, yes.
Right,
yes.
And I'm a-going to show you one. And been myself a nice gun now. Now, quiet now, and behave like you was a bloke what knowed his way about the woods.
Well, of all the blinkers...
Here, Tom, look. You see it? Up there on the bottom branches of that there sycamore.
Where?
Well, I'll be... There. See it, Tom?
Aye, he sees it.
Polecat, ain't it?
I'll stake my last penny. It is a polecat.
Yeah. Can't deny your own eyes, Tom, lad. Yeah. I reckon that gun's mine now.
It ain't shifting much, is it?
Oh, got tame, you see. I've been a-teaching it to come out and sit up there every morning.
I reckon we'll have it.
Yeah, don't shoot it.
Why?
Yeah, I only borrowed it off the fella. Promised him I'd let him have it to take it back to the shop this afternoon.
I guess this was something like that.
I know, be careful with that polecat, Tom. Hey, don't be rough with it. Just because you've lost the bet and got your rag out.
It's a blinking stuffed and
I recognize it now, too.
Tomato Rawlinson's, a taxidermist in Borchester. Blooming awful old Walter, wasting our time like this.
I ain't wasted. I won myself a nice gun, ain't I?
What? You won?
Yeah, of course I did.
With a pelt full of sawdust, oh, don't be daft.
Yeah, now, look here, Tom, lad. I wish just to remind you of the betters I said. Namely, that I'd show you the polecat in Longspinney before the week was out. Well, that's what I done, ain't it?
What, a blinking mangy old tough thing like that?
There was no mention of whether the polecat was to be alive or dead. The bet was that I'd show you the polecat in Longspinney. So now I'll thank you kindly, stand over that there gun.
Not on your blooming life.
Aye, a bet, ain't it, Dan?
Now, don't get me involved in this. You two fight it out between you. Go on.
Blow a chap as don't honor his bets, I says.
And blow a fellow as can't do things straight forward. Larceny by a trick. That's what tis, Walter. That ain't no bet. No bet at all. Give us your old hat, because I've won.
Aye, there's the polecat. It's my gun.
You knows as well as I do, when that bet was struck, we was referring to live polecats.
No mention alive nor dead till this minute. And then you realised as you'd lost the bet and started trying to wriggle your way out on it.
Ah, well, I ain't having it. You ain't getting a good gun out of me by downright trickery like that.
Oh, no. Dan, my old friend, I'm sorry as you got to witness your own brother-in-law welching on a bet.
Tent no bet, is it, Dan?
Well, I wasn't there when you made your bet, but I reckon that as there's so much quibbling about it, you'd better forget the whole thing.
It's my gun on moral ground.
Well, you ain't getting it. It was a proper bet, straight and fair, I wouldn't mind.
Yeah.
But you ain't getting it with that sort of trickery. So give us your old hat, because I won.
I never didn't. There's the polecat.
Yeah, well, there's you claiming you've won, Walter, and Tom claiming he's won.
Well, you decide, Dan. Who won, eh? Come on.
Oh, no. You don't get me involved.
Go on. Make a decision one way or the other.
There's nothing to decide about. Hand over your old hat, Walter.
Hey, do you know what I'd do?
What?
Forget it.
Oh, no, blooming fear.
No, me. No.
All right. Have a bet over something else and settle it that way.
Oh. Ah, well, I suppose that's fair.
Suits me.
I'll tell you what then, Walter. My gun against your old hat and a £5 note, that I can climb your blessed greasy pole. Don't know, how's that?
You mon.
Right, Tom.
Too late, Dan. I took him years. Might as well hand the gun over now and be done with it. Because it's as good as mine.
This promises to be a pretty good evening. Thanks for suggesting it, Phil.
Think nothing of it, John.
Are we celebrating anything or anything great?
Well, we can if you like. Let's try to think of something to celebrate. Any suggestions?
What about Princess Ira's wedding?
Fair enough.
Wonderful. Guests and a fleet of gondolas, with the gondoliers in white trousers, golden embroidered short jackets, and scarlet sash.
Cool. Hijinks like that going on. It surprises me that nobody fell in the drink.
You never know. Somebody's probably awash.
Hello, everybody.
Hello, Reggie.
Now, look, do you folks want to order now, or will you eat later?
A bit later. Hey, everybody?
Yeah,
we'll have another drink and a bit of a natter first, Reggie.
Okay. How'd you get on with your autumn sale, Phil?
Oh, very well, thanks.
Autumn sale. You know, it's so mild, it doesn't seem a bit like autumn yet, does it?
The wind's getting up a little now, though. Had gale warnings today in some areas.
Rockall, Hebrides and Mallet.
That's it. Rockall, that's the place the Navy's just taken over in the Queen's name, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's only a tiny island about 80 feet across. What use is that?
Oh, probably starting a new housing scheme there for puffins and guillemots. Oh, yes, looking for Burgess and MacLean.
No, but what are they doing, Reggie, seriously?
Well, they're annexing the island to prevent its being used as a base for guided missiles or something.
Mm. Let's look at that now. Anybody else for another? Carol?
I'd love one.
John?
Please.
Grace?
Oh, confound it. I've lost an earring.
Where? In here?
No. I have a feeling it came off as I was getting out of the car.
Oh, well, look, I'll go and have a look.
Oh, no, you carry on and get the drinks. I'm almost sure I'll find it on the floor of the car. Shan't be a moment.
Right,
I feel rather undressed without it.
Oh, dear.
Well, same again then, Reggie, please, all round. Have one yourself.
Oh, bless you with those few kind words.
Well, now, John, let's get back to business. You want to borrow our lorry on Saturday week for how long? 2 hours?
A couple of hours in the morning should do nicely.
Do you want the driver as well?
No, thanks. I can drive it myself. Well, if I can be trusted.
Fair enough.
It should be quite a do, this fate field day and concert of yours, John.
Mm.
I wouldn't be surprised to see you raise more than enough money for the village hall roof repairs.
Oh, just pray we don't get rained out on the day, that's all.
Everybody,
help! What's up with Grace?
Oh, do come quickly! The stables are on fire!
The what?
What? Heavens, Grace.
The whole loft's ablaze! Eh? Come on, quickly! Help me with the horses!
Oh, Grace, what's going on? Look, what's all the commotion?
Fire, Reggie! The stables are going up. Now ring for the fire brigade straight away, will you? Right away. Oh, my gosh, it's going up like a torch.
We must get the horses out.
We'll have to work fast, then.
Listen to them. Poor devils.
Yes, any water about?
There's a tap over there.
Right.
It'll need more than that to stop this lot, though. Oh, crikey, the heat.
Get some water, Carol. Sparks dropping through onto the night bag.
Yes, right.
Hurry! The loft floor is ablaze!
What?
Easy then, Cavalier. Easy.
Hey, mind they don't lash out, Grace. They're panicky. Now, come on, boy. Out you come.
I've got some water. Seems so useless, just a bucket full.
Are they all out yet?
No, there's more inside. John?
Yep.
You're not so used to them as we are.
Up.
We'll get them out of the stables for you and Carol, and then you take them
right,
away.
Right.
Steady, Flash.
Hey, watch her, Grace. She's terrified.
Oh, my God, this is ghastly. Get out of it, quickly.
This is Isabella and Judy in those boxes at the end.
Yes, all right, but you get out, Grace. Go on, get out.
Look, can you take the pony?
Yes, I'll try. Now, come on, steady, Judy, steady. It's all right, old girl.
Oh, part of the ceiling fallen. It started the straw in the boxes near the door. We'll have a hell of a job getting the horses past.
Well, drive them. Come on, get up. Go on, stupid, move.
Stand clear, Grace. We're coming out in a rush.
I won't budge. They're jibbing at that blaze in the box. Now, come on, Judy.
Sling your coat over her head. Now, come on.
All out now.
Yes, take these two. Okay, I've got Judy.
I've got the other.
It's an inferno in there. They must be as dry as a tinder. Come on, get well away.
Oh, my gosh, we're lucky to get him out.
Yes, certainly were.
What's up?
Midnight couldn't have been tidier. Look, she's going back into the stable.
What?
No, Grace. No, don't do it.
She's going in after midnight. Grace!
Grace! Grace, come back! The roof's collapsing. For God's sake, Grace, come back!
Look at that roof. It's caving.
Horrible.
Phil!
Phil, you fool!
Let me go! Grace is in there! Let me go, blasted John!
Now, look, Phil, it's suicide if you go in.
Oh, Grace! Grace!
Phil, you madman!
Don't let him!
Phil! Phil!
And look out! Midnight's gone crazy!
Where are you?
Near the deck. Can't see. Grace! Grace! Oh, my God! Grace! Where is she?
Well, she may have gone out through the deck room window.
No! She must have... There, look! Under that beam!
God!
Get it off her! Go and help me! Get it off! Heave!
Right up! Oh, I can't budge it!
Well, harder! Harder! Go on, heave, blast you! Pull your guts out!
Help!
Help! Help!
Help!
Hurry, Reggie, for God's sake!
You keep yelling!
Here we are, here! Now buck up!
I see you!
Struth!
Oh, look, the straw underneath her! It's getting a light! Stamp on it! Don't let the fire get to her!
All right, Phil, all right.
Now get on this beam and heave, Reggie.
Yeah, wait, up! It's coming! A bit more! All together! Heave!
Now, Phil, you get it up while Reggie and I are holding it up!
Grace! Grace!
Come on, back up! We can't hold it much longer!
All right! Got her!
Now get her!
Okay, John.
Oh, did he get her out all right?
Yes, yes, I think so. Oh, look out, John. Mind your head. Burning hay shouting down.
Oh. Well, we can't go through that way now.
I know. The tack room window.
Right,
come on. Now, bash your elbow through it.
Right.
Bit more.
Right.
We cut ourselves to ribbons if we got through there.
Okay, Reggie, now out of it. Oh, well, nothing will stop that now. The place will be gutted.
Yeah. Thank heaven the wind's not blowing towards the house.
Oh, come on. Around the other side. Let's see if Grace is all right.
Anything we can do? Anybody call the brigade?
Oh, hello, Mr. Archer.
Hello. Saw the blaze from down the village and you come straight up.
Anybody call the brigade?
Yes, yes, I did.
By George, it's going, isn't it? Take more than us to put that lot out.
Well, we'd better do something.
We can't run our own hoses out. And the horses have to be attended to. And where the devil are Phil and Grace? They got out, didn't they?
Eh? What do you mean?
Well, Grace went back in there after midnight, and Phil followed her. Well, now they got out, surely.
You mean to say
no,
that...
No, they must have got
water,
out.
Yes,
water.
Yes,
now, look, be a good scout and go across to the house. See if Phil's taken Grace there and make sure somebody's called an ambulance.
Right, old
ambulance?
Right.
What the devil...
Are they hurt? What happened, John?
Well, part of the roof collapsed as she went in. One of the old beams must have struck her as it fell. It was sort of wedged against the wall, and she was lying under it.
Is she hurt badly?
Not so far as we could see. Probably just knocked out cold.
But the fire, was she...
No, didn't touch her.
Oh, thank heaven for that. Well, come on, Tom, let's do something.
Oh, it's got a dickens of a hold.
Our domestic hosepipes won't touch it. Better use them to stop it from spreading.
Aye, righto.
Well, we'd better see to the horses. No knowing where midnight will be by now, went off at a tearing gallop. Does it be terrified.
Reggie!
Oh, Carol, the Phil and Grace...
Across at the house.
Oh, thank God.
But, Reggie, I think you'd better go into Valerie.
Val? Why, what's the matter?
Well, she came out here just as you and John went into the stable. And yeah? She saw you go. The shock started the trouble.
What? You mean she's...
Yes, I'm afraid so, Reggie.
Oh, no.
Well, I've taken her in and she's comfortable. I'm terribly sorry. Oh, and they were both so looking forward to it.
But would she be all right?
Yes, I've sent for the doctor.
And what about Grace?
I don't know much about her. I had Belle in my hands. Oh, more roof falling in.
Yes.
John, those horses are getting restive, tugging at their ropes.
Yes, come on then, Carol. Come and give me a hand to quieten them, will you?
Any more, old Walter?
No, Tom, I can't find none.
Well, there's a standpipe over there the blasted hose won't reach.
How much of that tackle did you manage to get out?
Not a lot. Hooked a bit out through the broken window with a hay rake, and then the flames drove us back.
Oh. Listen a minute. Ah, that's the fire engine now.
Kind of took them above 15 minutes to come from Hollerton. Oh. That's darn good going.
Hey, ambulance too by the sound on it.
Keep out of the road and let them get at it.
Right,
Tom?
Yes, Dan?
Show where the water is, will you?
Righto. Walter's over here, you chaps!
Right, old
fence! Stay here, Walter. Do what you can to help, will you?
Right, old man, lad.
Will you take the ambulance up to the house? I'll come with you and show you.
Right, jump on.
I'd better give Christine a ring, hadn't I, Mr. Archer?
Perhaps you'd better.
Mr. Archer, where's Grace?
They're just bringing her out on a stretcher.
Still out, didn't she?
Looks like it. Poor thing.
I say, Phil. Phil, are you all right? Yes, I'm all right. Thanks for helping me, John.
Oh, that's nothing. Couldn't do much else.
You'll be going in with her, eh, lad?
Yeah.
All right, sir. If you're ready to get aboard...
Thanks.
Oh, blow the fuse.
Keep it up, Chris. You're doing fine.
It just won't go where I want it to.
No, but you're getting the swing all right.
Badminton. Oh.
Come on, knock up again. Don't be discouraged.
Oh, all right, Paul.
That's it. Keep it up. Now lob.
Oh.
Lob high.
I can't control the thing. Oh, hopeless.
It wasn't at all bad, really. You know, you've shown a tremendous improvement.
Oh. Shall we stop now?
Why, had enough?
More than enough.
Okay, Chris. You'll find the game more interesting as you get on.
Oh, I don't think I will.
Hmm?
Oh, I'm just not going to take to badminton, Paul.
No.
It's not a game I'll enjoy. I know it.
You're just discouraged at the moment because you can't do everything you want to.
Oh, I'll never learn. I'm not very interested in learning. And as long as I feel like that, well, there's not very much point in my joining the badminton club, is there?
Miss Archer?
Yes?
There's a telephone message for you.
Oh, thanks. Where? Over there?
Yes, that's right.
Oh, I wonder who it is. Mum, perhaps.
Everybody knew you were coming here, didn't they?
Yes. Hello, Christine Archer speaking. Oh, hello, John.
What? What? Well, when? Oh, good heavens.
What is it, Chris?
But how did it... Yes. Yes, of course. Immediately. We'll come straight away.
What's wrong, Chris?
I must go. Fire at the stables. Almost burnt down.
Good gosh, are the horses all right?
It isn't so much the horses. It's Grace.
Grace?
Yes, she was injured.
Oh, no.
Quickly, get your things and let's go. Oh, why did I say I'd played badminton tonight of all nights?
We'd better get this tack into the back of my car, Walter. I'll take you down to Brookfield with me.
All right, old Dan, me old beauty.
Sure you don't mind having two or three of the horses?
No, of course not.
Good. John?
Yes, Mr. Roger?
Will you lead one of them down? Better for us to have them down there where we can keep an eye on them.
Yes, of course I will.
Hey, where's Tom?
I've gone to try and catch Midnight. Somebody said she was seen straying down by Ramsden's place.
Mr. Archer, shall I lead one of the horses?
Oh, if you don't mind, Carol.
Oh, Chris said you'd be along.
Ah, good. We can probably get all of them down to Brookfield before she gets here from Borchester.
Hey, there ain't much left of the stable, Dan, is there? Oh, must have been dry as a tinderbox.
Yeah. There was no stopping it once it got started.
What did start it?
Yes, haven't really had time to think of that, have we? It was going like the dickens up in the loft when we got out there. Must have started up there somehow.
Yeah, well, I expect the fire brigade chaps will have a good look round now they can get in. Carol?
Yes?
What did you think of Grace?
It was a crazy thing to do, but it was wonderfully brave, dashing in there like that.
I mean, how did you think she was when they took her away?
Well, hard to say, but...
I didn't like the look of her very much.
No, nor me neither.
Just what I was thinking myself. Yeah, well, better get these horses put away somewhere. I expect Reggie's got some head collars we can borrow. We didn't manage to save many out of the tack room. Carol, if you can manage Cavalier and Walter and John start out as Flash and Isabella. Well, that's got them settled, Chris. They'll be all right till morning now.
Oh, thanks for all your help, Dad.
That's all right, love.
Oh, it must have burnt like fury.
Yeah, quite a blaze, I can tell you. Have you seen Midnight?
Yes, I put a blanket over her for tonight.
Had a quick look at her. Mm. It didn't seem to have done any damage to herself. Lucky, considering the way she bolted.
Yes. I feel all sort of edgy, as though there's something I ought to have done, but haven't.
Just unsettled with the night's happening, I expect. Mm. Oh, I didn't water Judy, did you? Is that what's worrying you?
No, Dad, I did her.
Hey, you're insured up at the stables, aren't you? Premiums paid up and all that?
Oh, yes. I think perhaps it's Cavalier, played up a bit in strange surroundings. I'd better go out and have another look at him a bit later on. Oh, and there's the tack.
It'll be all right in the barn till morning. You can sort it out then.
Shall I make a cup of tea?
Not a bad idea.
Mm. Did Mum go to the pictures of Mrs. P after all?
She's missed it all.
I'm still a bit dazed by the whole thing, Dad. Oh, why did it have to be Midnight that went back in? If Grace hadn't gone back after her...
Probably slipped a head collar after he tied her up. She hadn't got it on when your Uncle Tom found her.
Yes, perhaps.
Yeah, I don't suppose they had much time to tie him properly. When they fetched him out, Chris, they had to work pretty fast, you know.
Yes. Oh, I'll never play badminton again. What a fool I was to go out.
Oh, don't be daft, love. Nobody knew the place was going to catch fire, now did they?
No. I just don't understand how it happened. The loft went up first, you say?
So I believe. I heard one of the firemen saying something about a bonfire somewhere near.
A bonfire?
Reggie's chaps were sweeping up the leaves yesterday. A bit of wind got up. Mind you, I'm not saying that's how it happened, but if the wind had taken a spark up into the hayloft...
Yes, it could quite easily happen.
Yes, it's easily done.
Oh, had somebody just come in? Not Mum, surely. It's too early for her to be back.
Yeah, might be your Uncle Tom or Phil, perhaps.
Oh, it's Phil.
Yeah, didn't expect you back quite so soon. Chris and I was... Phil... Phil, there. What's gone wrong?
In my arms. On the way to hospital. She's dead.
Gaffer.
Why, hello, Simon Leonard. What brings you along here this time of day?
Well, I thought maybe a bit of hand here and there might help. Didn't quite know how you'd be fixed.
Well, as a matter of fact, it would be a lot of help, Simon. It's jolly good of you to think about it. But what about Carol?
Oh, I've had a word with Miss Gray. There ain't no problem there.
Oh, good. Good. Nice of her.
Bad business, Gaffer.
Doesn't bear thinking about.
Philip at Coombe Farm?
Doris is up there at the moment. That's why I'm glad of a hand this morning. Len's got his hands full and... Well, you know how it is.
Yes.
Get over, Hetty, get over. You've been milked times enough before, lass, and that's starting to get temperamental about it.
Well, we're talking to Bess Gaffer. The lad won't stay there on his own, will he?
To tell you the truth, Simon, I don't think he's capable of thinking straight about anything at the moment. Certainly not about deciding on his own movements.
No. No, of course not. What about her dad? Abroad, any?
Yes. Managed to contact him, fortunately. Flying back right away.
I'll take him this end, then, shall I?
Good lad. Keep an eye on Nancy, will you? Since she had a calf, she's been a bit edgy at milking times. I should put a kicking strap on her.
Right, you are. I don't want a kick in the lot all over me.
No.
Oh, there's just one thing, Gaffer.
Uh-huh.
I don't want you to think I'm taking advantage, you know, of this upset to sort of, well, wheedle me way back to Brookfield. I'm very happy where I am. It ain't that at all. Just give in hand, like. Yeah.
Thanks, Simon. I quite understand, lad. Thanks a lot.
I thought with this rain you'd want Len out pretty sharpish.
It came down a bit, didn't it? Uh-huh. And make the ground just right to get a good seed bed for me winter oats. Now, damn it, Hetty, don't play about. Be your age.
It always was a bit skittish. I suppose Len will be starting to break it down soon as maybe.
All right.
Oh, Gaffer.
Uh-huh.
Young Christine out in the yard there.
Uh-huh.
It looks a bit jaddicky.
Hey? Oh, well, carry on a minute, will you? I'll just have a word with her.
Oh, carry on, don't you fret. Now, listen to me, you old fools. You all knows me well enough, so we don't want no cancer.
Ah, there you are, Chris. Just going to see about a spot of breakfast, are you? Good job I caught you. Because you might put an extra ration or two to make a sandwich for Simon, will you? He's come up to give me a hand, you see.
Dad, honestly.
What?
But at a time like this, you talk about rashers of bacon. Haven't you got any feelings?
Yes. Yes, love, I think so. My feelings are just the same as anybody else's.
I've certainly got no appetite.
Now, look, my dear. What good do you reckon you're doing anybody by taking that attitude?
Well, it's natural enough, isn't it?
Aye, but not very helpful. Not to anybody. Now, look, me and Simon there in the milking shed, we've got the same feelings as you and everybody else, but we've still had to carry on milking, just the same as you've had to carry on feeding and watering those horses you've got there.
I didn't say anything about not doing the milking or not feeding the horses, did I? Of course those jobs have got to be done.
Aye, and the same applies to breakfast and housework and ploughing and muck spreading and everything else, Chris. Life must go on, my love. It's heartbreaking and dreadful. But it's not the end of the world. Life must go on for you, for Phil, for all of us. So let's all get busy and do something to help it.
But Dad... Why should a thing like this have to happen to us? Why? Why should it happen to us?
Things like this are happening to people every day, Chris. Every day of the week. Somebody somewhere has a thing just like this to face up to and contend with. Now, why should we consider ourselves any different from other people just because we're the Archer family? We're not any different, you know. So, this thing happens to us now. And all we can do is the same as other folks somehow managed to do in similar circumstances. Just carry on.
Hi, sleepyhead.
Oh, Reggie.
Breakfast on a tray, ma'am. Grapefruit, bacon, eggs, coffee, toast.
Smells wonderful.
How are you, Val?
Oh, I'm fine now.
Good.
What about you?
Oh, not a very good night. Well, it was all against restful beauty sleep. Coffee now or after the grapefruit?
Oh, pour it. Gosh, you are attentive.
All part of the service.
What's the morning like?
Dismal. Now, you're sure you're okay, Val?
Yes, of course.
I was worried about you.
I was worried about you, too. Nice grapefruit. Oodles of sugar. Why don't you join me for a coffee?
Not a bad idea.
What does it look like outside?
Oh, ghastly mess.
House phone?
Probably the kitchen. I told them I was coming up here. Excuse me. Hello? What? Who's coming? Oh, yes. Partridge, I should think. He's very fond of that. You order it, would you? No, all right, we'll talk about it later. Dinner for the rural dean and a friend who's just come back from a mission abroad. Life goes on.
Yes. Have your coffee?
Thanks. Sugar?
Not yet.
Now, you sure you feel all right?
Yes, honestly.
And it's going to be all right, isn't it?
Absolutely all right. I thought at first, well, that I'd let you down. But the doctor says I'm okay.
We're lucky, Val. Better count our blessings, hmm?
Yes. Poor Phil.
Doc coming to give you another checkup today, is he?
Yes. Reggie, anything in the newspapers?
A ray of hope, you might say.
Mm-hmm.
The international scene. Yes, a certain amount of optimism from Mr. Dulles at the UNO opening.
Eh?
Suggesting Moscow as a suitable place for a conference.
Oh, troikas and vodka. I'm ready for my bacon now. You've my permission to wait on me again.
Coming right over.
Thanks.
Now, look, I have to love you and leave you now, Val. Promised I'd go to the kennels this morning.
All right.
Are you sure you'll be okay?
Perfectly.
Good. Thank you for that small gesture of affection, Mrs. Trenton. We're a couple of lucky folks, aren't we?
I'm just beginning to realize how lucky. Don't be long.
I won't.
I like seeing your silly old face around.
Peg, you almost ready?
Yes, just got to slip my coat on. You ready?
Have you got to lock the takings in the safe?
The minerals are coming this afternoon, you know.
Yes. Yes, I've told Prue. She's got the cellar keys, so it'll be all right. Didn't take a dickens of a lot last night.
Did you expect to?
No, not really. Right, well, I'm ready. Car's out front. Come straight out as soon as you've got your coat on, eh?
Yes, okay.
You know, I don't think it's very wise of Phil to insist on staying on his own at Coombe Farm, do you?
No. Mum's up there, of course, but I wouldn't think that... Although, I don't know. Maybe he is sensible.
How do you mean?
Well, Coombe Farm's home to him. Even although they'd hardly been in the place 5 minutes, it is his home. First one he's had of his own. If I'd been in that sort of situation, I think I might have done the same thing.
Yes, but he'll brood. I don't think he should be allowed too much time on his own. Hello. Well, there's your Uncle Tom talking to Simon. Over by the park gates, look.
Better just stop and say how do, hadn't we?
Yes, I suppose we'd better.
Hello, Jack. Hello, Peggy.
Hello, then. Bad business, Jack. Sorry, lad.
Thanks, Simon.
We're just going into Worcester to get our clothes.
I didn't want to poke me nose in, Jack, lad. But have you heard anything?
How do you mean?
Well, inquest or anything like that.
Haven't you heard yet, Uncle Tom?
Oh, no. Bit early, I suppose. What about her mum and dad?
That's all been done. They've got in touch with them.
Not working today, Simon?
Well, Carol said as I could do without me for an hour or two in the morning and afternoon, so I said as I'd like to go up and give Gaff a hand, if there was anything I could do like.
That's very good of you.
As a matter of fact, I'm just on my way up to give hand with them afternoon milk in now.
Anybody giving Phil a hand? I mean, who's keeping that place running?
Oh, Gaffer's been up there once or twice during the day.
And Fairbrother's agents come in from Borchester too. And of course, Benson's a capable chap. Well, most on them up there are Angus and all on them. I looked in myself, but wasn't much I could do.
No. No, what can you do? Oh, well, I suppose we'd better be off, Peg.
Yes.
Hey, look up there.
Hmm?
You don't see many of them about these parts, do you?
Helicopter, innit?
Oh, so it is.
Flying pretty low and all.
Trying to keep under the cloud, I expect. You know he is low, isn't
yes,
he?
Yes, I suppose the chap knows what he's up to.
Well, they look awkward things, really, but surprising just what they can do with them. Did you see those that were demonstrated at Farnborough on the telly?
Hey, he's landing.
Well, I'll be jiggered. So he is, look, in the park.
Oh, he ain't in trouble, is he? Seems to be coming down steady enough.
Nothing wrong with the way that came down.
The door's opening. Look, it's Mr. Fairbrother.
Well, hey? Well, I'll be... You're right, Peg.
Must have ordered that helicopter to bring him from the airport. I bet that's cost him a tidy penny.
Oh, I can't see him worrying about that at a time like this.
No. Missus ain't with him.
Oh, probably following along behind with young Robbie.
Here we'd better meet him. Make him straight for the gate. Come on. Afternoon, Mr. Fairbrother. Just like to say how sorry you...
Yes, it's hard to find words.
Yes, thank you.
It's a nasty shock, sir, on your...
If there's anything we can do...
Oh, yes, most kind of you. Very thoughtful. Excuse me. You'll forgive me if I hurry. There must be a great deal to do.
Yes, sir, of course, yes.
So many things to think of. Where's Philip, please? At my place?
Yes, I think so.
Jack, would you be good enough to run me up?
Of course, straight away. Jump in.
Oh, thank you.
Is Mrs. Fairbrother...
Oh, she's following along by train, with the luggage and the baby.
Oh, well, let's go then. Phil did say he'd call in at Brookfield. He told me so. I expect to be along in a minute.
Well, Jack, you mention it to him by all means, but I doubt very much whether he'll want to.
I know, Dad. It's not my idea, really. It's Peg. Says it's wrong he should be left on his own.
It's just what your mother says, but it's the way he feels. I don't think we should pester him just now. I said as much to your mother.
Oh, I know Mum's got everything organized for him to transfer immediately. Well, it's only natural that she should.
Oh, aye, perfectly natural. But I know our Phil, and so do you. And I'll bet a pound to a penny he'll stay put where he is.
Mm. By the way, I've got room for one or two horses if Chris has pushed for space.
Oh, I think that side of it's all taken care of.
I don't know. I'm blessed if I do. You want to say something and nothing seems to mean very much.
I know. Seen the evening paper?
No. Anything in it?
Yeah. Not much. Only about this taking over of Rockall. Listen. It was anticipated that the many birds set to use the rock as a resting place might hamper the helicopter pilots, but there were very few birds in residence. Rather to the disappointment of the bird-scaring party, who were ready with rockets and saluting guns. Well, if that's news, it doesn't matter. Ah, here's our Phil now.
Yeah, by himself, too. Had an idea Fairbrother might be with him.
Hey, up there, Phil, Ned.
Oh. Hello, Dad. Hello, Jack.
Hello, Phil.
I just called in to get one or two things that Mum's putting ready.
She's in there.
Phil?
Yes?
Just thought I'd mention that there's plenty of room at the Bull. Put you up easy enough, Peg and me. No bother at all, you know.
Thanks. Thanks, Jack, but I'll be all right.
Same applies to Brookfield. No need for me to tell you that.
But Phil, the house is empty at Coombe Farm, and...
Look, Jack, I know you both mean well, and Mum, but be a pal. Leave me alone, will you? All of you. I'll be quite all right, so long as you just leave me alone for a bit. That's all.
Tray through, Chris. The one with the brandy snaps and cake.
Oh, there's enough food here to feed a regiment. How many are you expecting, for goodness sake?
Well, there's Uncle Tom and Uncle Walter to start with. They always have hearty appetites.
I thought you you said they were having lunch at the ball. Surely they'll be full up by now.
Well, you know what that means at this time of year. A few seasonal hot toddies and more than the usual number of specials. By the time they've walked those off, I should think they'll be ravenous.
Shula and Mark popping over?
I shouldn't think so. You know she's asked us all over to Glebe Cottage this year. I should imagine she'll be tearing round in a panic.
Oh, I bet she will. It's always daunting cooking for your mum.
That's why I decided to have this tea party today. It seemed a bit odd to have Christmas without doing all the usual cooking.
You must be joking. I'd jump at the chance if I were you. Imagine a Christmas without having to slave over a hot stove. George seems to think that the turkey just jumps on the table ready cooked.
Maybe he believes Santa Claus brings it.
Oh, sounds as though Santa's doing his rounds early this year.
Yes.
Merry Christmas.
Hello, you two. Happy Christmas.
Hello there,
me old pal, me old beauty.
Hello, Merry Christmas.
Compliments of the season. And here's a little something from me.
Uh-huh. Oh.
And something from me and Prue.
Oh, thank you both.
Not to be opened until tomorrow, my.
Thank you. I'll put them under the tree with the rest of the presents.
Oh, hello, Chris. Nice to see you by yourself.
By myself.
Without having to crane me neck because you're on some blooming great horse.
Oh,
Tom, look at all that. Oh, my, they've done us proud. Mind if I just...
No, Walter. Manners maketh man.
Oh, that's all right, Uncle Walter. Here, have one of these sandwiches. And there's plenty more where they came from.
Oh, well, if you insist.
Tuck in.
Who else have you invited, then, Jill?
I'm going to make a start on these sandwiches, too.
To tell you the truth, I'm not sure who's coming. I've told everyone I met in the village just to drop by whenever they had a free moment. So I suppose that's anyone who's not at work.
Work? I don't know as much work gets done at this time of year.
All these Christmas parties, more like. Oh, I've heard stories that'd freeze your blood.
Oh, you should have heard Elizabeth going on about the echo. They're having their third Christmas party today. Their third.
Oh, them people as works in offices are the worst.
Oh, yes, Uncle Tom. I suppose you speak from years of experience.
Well, I've been around. I keeps me ear to the ground.
Their third. I said, why don't you take me along, Elizabeth?
Oh, good gracious.
Oh, I can hear someone coming through.
Oh, yes. Perhaps that'll be Mrs. P.
The dog woman. She wouldn't be at an office party.
Shula!
Oh, hello,
happy
love.
Happy Christmas,
love.
What a surprise.
Oh, yes. Hey, come and sit down, love.
Is anything the matter?
These sandwiches are good.
What was that, Uncle Tom?
I think they're giving you a warm welcome.
Oh, Mum, it's all hopeless. First Mark got all the wrong vegetables in, and then I found he'd forgotten to take the turkey out of the freezer.
No.
Oh, dear, oh. Lord, oh dear.
So it won't have had a full 24 hours to defrost like it's supposed to.
Never mind, dear. Shula. Here, have a sherry.
And now, when I need him to give me a hand like he promised, he phones home to say he'll be kept late at the office party.
Oh.
See? I told you.
They can be wild, Shula, these office parties.
Go on, love.
No, I wouldn't mind going to one, though.
Well, that's it, really. Oh, I suppose it all got on top of me a bit.
None of it seems very drastic to me.
Is the turkey defrosting now?
Well, yes.
And did you manage to buy the right vegetables this morning?
Yes.
Then I don't think there's anything much to worry about, is there?
No, I suppose not. I just wanted it all to run perfectly, like Christmas here always seems.
Oh, you can't expect to get it right first time. Christmas is a fine art, you know.
Yes, of course you can't.
Of course not.
I'm going to go and see to the rest of the food. Help yourselves, and just call out if you want some more tea.
All right, Jill. And you yell if you need any help.
Tom, you'll be mother.
I always spill it.
I'll pour. Now, is everyone close enough to the fire?
Yes, that's Auntie
Chris. Yes, I'm all right.
I can understand your being upset, though, Shula. It's so hard when you first set up home and try to recreate the happiness you knew as a child at Christmas.
Oh, didn't used to have no office parties, eh, Tom?
Oh, they was unheard of, Walter. Unheard of.
There's some people rouse a lot at Christmas time.
It's a strain. Some families are under a lot of strain at Christmas.
Now, what does you know about it?
Well, I've got eyes, haven't I? And I've been in Ambridge as long as anybody.
I bet Mum and Dad never rowed at Christmas.
Oh, Shula, of course they did. Everyone does. It's not a serious thing. And even...
What?
Oh, nothing.
No, what?
Oh, tell the truth and shame the devil.
Well, I was going to say, even in your father's first marriage.
Oh, to Grace.
Grace Fairbrother as well.
Oh, I shouldn't have mentioned it. Why not? That was decades ago. Ages before I was born. It was another world then.
Yes, but your mother... Well, she still doesn't much like people to talk about it.
She's right, Shula. That's one topic Jill's very touchy about.
Oh, well, you can understand why, can't you?
Surely you're not trying to say she's jealous. After all these years? Oh, come on.
Well, no, not jealous.
No, I wouldn't say jealous, no.
Grace meant a great deal to your father. Well, not just to him. The whole family loved her.
Well, a lot of people seemed impressed by her. I can't say as I ever was.
She was charming and very attractive.
She was pretty enough, I'll say that.
Phil was, well, very fond of her for a long time.
They was both courting other people.
It was years before he plucked up the courage to ask her out.
Ah, she'd been abroad. When she come back, he fell for her, hook, line and sinker.
That's hard to imagine. Dad as a young swain. Where did they go? A young farmer's hop?
Oh, this was back in the early 50s. Everything was much more straight-laced then.
Oh, some of us weren't.
If a young man asked a girl out then, well, if he was respectable, he'd ask her home to tea with his parents.
Grace, Mum suggested you might like to come to tea at Brookfield tonight. Will you come?
Yes, please.
Good. It'll be just like old times, won't it?
Goodness, it is nice to have you sitting down to tea again, Grace. Just like old times.
I don't feel as though I've been away at all.
I must say you're looking well, Les.
Oh, I feel fine.
You know, Grace, you were a lucky girl to have a holiday abroad.
I suppose I was. But for some reason or other, I don't think I fully appreciated it.
Oh, don't tell Chris that. She thinks it's wonderful to travel the world ever since she's got to know Lady Hileborough.
Yeah, what's the time, anyway? What? Hey, up, Phil. What? It's gone six. Switch on the news.
Oh, good gracious, yes.
See what Mr. Butler's done for us, or to us.
Well, whatever he says, I've got a feeling it's not going to be very pleasant, Dan.
He's got a devil of a lot of money to get from somewhere. Oh. But he'd have a bit of a job to get it from me at the moment, as my bank manager would very soon tell him.
I bet your cigarettes go up.
An income tax.
The Exchequer has proposed in his budget statement cuts in the food subsidies and concessions in income tax, family allowances, and pensions. The income tax proposal is that the single allowance shall be increased from £110 to £120. Uh-huh. The married allowance from £190 to £210.
Not to get married, I can
and
see.
The child allowance from £70 to £85.
Oh, well, that's better anyway.
The earned income relief would be...
Well, we've had it all. There it is. Petrol up, oil up. Bye. A good job we got that heavy ploughing done.
Yeah, that Lakey Hill job of mine's going to cost a bit more, though, at that rate.
Yes. Now, how's the new bank rate of 4% going to affect that overdraft, Dan?
I don't know. Better see the bank manager in the morning about that.
Well, milk, meat and flour are all going up in price. I wonder if the farmers are going to get anything out of that increase.
Yeah, I don't know. They won't, I'm afraid. What it will do is make the public realise just what it costs to grow and produce this stuff.
Yeah, that's
well,
true enough.
Never mind. Income tax allowances are up and family allowances have gone from 5 bob to 8 bob, so Jack and Peggy will be pleased about that.
Yeah, and old Walter hasn't got to pay any more for his pipe or his pint, so he'll be pleased about that.
Oh, and now, for goodness sake, let's talk about something else.
I've never been able to imagine Mum and Dad as a courting couple. And it's even more strange to think of Dad courting someone who isn't Mum.
Ah, he had a lot of girlfriends, your Dad.
Oh, he did, didn't he?
I mean marrying someone who isn't Mum. She was my closest friend at the time. Perhaps my closest friend ever. What was she like?
Well...
There's a question.
I mean, apart from being pretty...
She played a lot of tennis.
Yeah, and rode a lot of horses. She was always on a horse. Well, she ran the stables with you, Chris, didn't she?
Mm, crikey, tennis and riding. She sounds like Miss Joan Hunter Dunn.
Hey, oh, does her live over at Little Crockley?
Oh, she was nothing like Miss Joan Hunter Dunn. She had a very strong personality, a very independent streak.
Oh, a bit too independent, some said.
There were some of us as thought. Ah, well, bygone days, I suppose.
No, Uncle Tom, do say.
Well, put it this way, Shula. We're all very fond of young Elizabeth. Oh, she's a real bright spark. But there are times
she
when...
She wasn't like Elizabeth.
No, nothing like.
Oh. An only one, no mother. Oh, and her father doted on her.
Well, it's hardly surprising she had a mind of her own. Oh, and she led Phil a merry dance.
Uncle Tom, that's not fair, and you know it. They were very much in love.
Well, she was very modern in her ways.
How do you mean?
Well, she was always adamant that her work at the stables took priority over starting a family.
Sounds very sensible to me.
Oh, she wouldn't hear of having children.
Oh, no, wouldn't hear of it.
Her wanted to wait a while.
I bet that drew a few old-fashioned comments. Unless Ambridge has changed a lot since then.
Well, I mean, it's not natural, is it? People get married to have babbies. Otherwise, what's the point?
Uncle Walter.
Anyway, Phil absolutely doted on her. And she did begin to change her mind about babies when they'd been married a little while.
Ah, there she is. Punched up over a hot little stove, getting the old man's supper ready.
Oh, don't be a clock. Finished for the day?
Yeah. Anything new?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, well, what's for supper tonight? Sausage and mash, faggots and peas.
Wait and see. There. Look. Is that to your taste?
Partridge? Oh, wacko. You've been poaching.
You seem to forget my father owns most of the shooting round here, young man.
Whoops. Beg your pardon.
Go on. Get yourself washed. It's just ready.
All right. Sink covered up with saucepans and paraphernalia.
You could wash in the bathroom, of course.
Oh, I miss all the cooking smells. Oh, no fear.
What have you been doing till now?
Oh, getting everything ready for the autumn sale tomorrow. I have quite a bit to go. 15 cows culled out, 25 in-calf heifers, 8 barreners and 2 yearling bulls. Ought to bring in quite a crowd.
Oh, good. You calf.
Oh, all right. There's one thing I like more than a partridge. It's a brace of them.
You know, I think I'll send a couple to Isabel Workman, just as a gesture.
Oh, yes, why not? Oh, best cutlery and glass out on the table too, eh? What are we celebrating?
Nothing. I just thought it would look rather nice.
Well, it does too. Oh, good Lord, and wine.
I went home and raided Daddy's cellar.
Ah, clever girl. Hey, come here a minute.
Well, something wrong?
Absolutely nothing. This is for being a clever girl.
The partridge will get cold. Don't want it to spoil after all my slaving over the stove, do you?
Oh, no, of course not. A beano like this is sort of extending the holiday. A good weekend, wasn't it?
Lovely.
I didn't mind pram pushing a bit. Do you think anybody thought it was ours? What's the matter?
Mm?
Well, I made a gag. No reaction.
Oh, I was just thinking.
Well, what about?
Well... Oh, I don't know. I suppose it's silly, really, but, well, having to take care of Isabel's baby over the weekend and all that...
Yeah?
I think perhaps you were right after all, Phil, and I was wrong.
Hmm. What about?
Waiting 5 years.
Huh?
For a family of our own.
Oh.
I mean, it's been rather selfish on my part to insist on waiting a while. I'm beginning to realise that now, and the weekend rather brought it home to me. Well, I didn't do too badly managing Isabel's baby, did I?
Too badly? Why, you're an absolute natural.
Yes. That's what I'm beginning to feel myself. You were right, so let's forget all this waiting 5 years nonsense.
But a decision like that, well, it's a terribly intimate thing, isn't it? Did Grace confide in you, Auntie Chris?
No need to confide. It wasn't long before everybody in Ambridge knew that Grace had come over all broody. Oh,
typical. It's like living in a goldfish bowl.
Oh, was it spread that rumour anyway about Grace and the babbies?
Well, actually, Shula, I have to admit that, well, it was such exciting news at the time.
You mean you gave away her secrets?
Oh, no, nothing like that. As a matter of fact, it was Mum who first pointed out that Grace's attitude had changed. They'd had this weekend away, you see.
Oh, my sister was a great one for jumping to conclusions.
Oh, yes, Doris was a clever woman. She knew. She knew them things. And when Phil and Grace got back,
she sensed something was different.
Talking of Len, Dad, he should have seen no sheepdog trials on Saturday.
By golly, aye, should that. I looked in at Mrs. P, specially to watch
it. If we had a set of our own, we could be independent.
Independent television at Brookfield as well as in London, eh?
Yeah, but that farmer Wilson, the one who won, Him and his two dogs. See, what are the names here? Bill and Nat. Mm. Bye, they could handle sheep all right between them.
Mm. Oh, Grace and Phil back, Dan.
Yes, I saw Phil for a second or two.
Oh, yeah. Did they have a nice time?
Oh, from what he says, they spent all their time baby-minding and looking after the house.
Oh?
Grace's friend had scalded her foot and her husband was away.
Oh, I say, what a rotten shame. They must have had a thoroughly disappointing weekend.
Oh, I don't know. Phil spoke as though they enjoyed it.
Mm, baby-minding, eh?
Ah.
Ah, and they enjoyed it. Now, that might be the best thing that could have happened.
Eh?
Well, they wouldn't have enjoyed it if Grace hadn't been perfectly happy. And if Grace was perfectly happy baby-minding, why then?
Why then what?
Never you mind.
I don't know about you, Mum. I bet she starts knitting tiny woolen garments within the week. And all because Isabel Workman scolded her.
Nothing of the sort. I never said a word. All I said was...
But you mustn't get the impression that the talk about Grace was in any way unkind, Shula. It's just that, well, everyone wanted them to have children.
And if they had started a family... Oh, it makes me feel almost eerie, as if someone stepped on my grave.
What's that, dear? You're all looking very solemn.
Oh, it's nothing, Jill. Just one of Walter's old ghost stories.
It's funny that's such a Christmas tradition, isn't it? I suppose it goes back to Dickens, the ghost of Christmas past and all that.
Perhaps too many ghosts of Christmas past.
Oh, more tea, anyone?
It's freshly brewed. I'll leave it here.
I'll pour, Jill.
Right, thanks. About 5 minutes for the sausage rolls. I hope you've left a bit of room for them.
Hmm.
All this talk about Dad and Grace gives me an odd feeling. If they'd had children, then I might not be here, if you see what I mean.
I understand you. But it can't have been more than a couple of weeks after that time that the accident happened.
Wasn't it the same week?
Oh, yes. They'd been away, and it happened that same week.
The fire, you mean?
Terrible night. We were there, weren't we, Walter?
Oh, yes. It was the earring that caused it.
An earring that caused a fire?
No.
Oh, she and Phil went up to Grey Gables for dinner. What was the name of the bloke who used to run it?
That's where our stables were in those days.
Wasn't John Tregoran with them?
John and Carol. But I don't think they were married then.
Oh, Reggie Trentham. That was his name. He used to be up at Grey Gables.
But what about this earring?
It was a tragedy.
Oh, the worst thing I can remember in Hambridge.
Well, you see, they were all sitting around and chatting when Grace discovered...
Anybody else for another? Carol?
I'd love one.
John?
Please.
Grace?
Oh, confound it. I've lost an earring.
Where? In here?
No. I have a feeling it came off as I was getting out of the car.
Oh, well, look, I'll go and have a look.
Oh, no, you carry on and get the drinks. I'm almost sure I'll find it on the floor of the car. Uh-huh. Shan't be a moment.
Right,
I feel rather undressed without it.
Oh, dear. Well, same again then, Reggie, please, all round. Have one yourself.
Oh, bless you with those few kind words.
Well, now, John, let's get back to business. You want to borrow our lorry on Saturday week for how long? 2 hours?
A couple of hours in the morning should do nicely.
Uh-huh. Do you want the driver as well?
No, thanks. I can drive it myself. Well, if I can be trusted.
Fair enough.
It should be quite a do, this fate field day and concert of yours, John. I wouldn't be surprised to see you raise more than enough money for the village hall roof repairs.
Oh, just pray we don't get rained out on the day, that's all.
Hello!
Hello, what's up, Grace?
What? Heavens, Grace. The whole loft's ablaze. Hey? Come on, quickly. Help me with the horses.
Oh, Grace, what's going on? Look, what's all the commotion? Fire, Reggie. The stables are going up. Now ring for the fire brigade straight away, will you? Look, can you take the pony?
Yes, I'll try.
Now, come on, steady, Judy, steady. It's all right, old girl.
Midnight! Midnight!
Woo! Oh, my gosh, we're lucky to get him out.
Yes, certainly were.
What's up?
Midnight couldn't have been tired. Look, she's going back into the stable.
What? No, Grace. No, don't do it!
She's going in after midnight. Grace!
Grace! Grace, come back! The roof's collapsing! For God's sake, Grace, come back!
Look at that roof! It's caving!
Horrible!
Phil!
Phil, you fool!
Let me go! Grace is in there! Let me go, blast it, John!
Now, look, Phil, it's suicide if you go in.
Oh. Grace! Grace!
Phil, you madman!
Don't let him!
Grace! Grace! Oh, my God! Grace! Where is she?
Well, she may have gone out through the tech room window.
No! She must have... There, look! Under that beam.
God.
Get it off her! Go and help me! Get it off!
Heave! Right out.
Well, I can't budge it.
Well, harder, harder. Heave, blast you. Pull your guts out. Oh, look, the straw underneath her. It's getting a light. Stamp on it. Don't let the fire get to her.
All right, Phil, all right. Now get on this beam and heave, Reggie. Yeah. Quick. It's coming. A bit more. All together.
We come running up, didn't us, Tom?
Oh, yes. I remembered as clear as if it happened today.
Oh, the flames was jumping that high into the sky. You could see them from the bull.
Everybody poured out into the night and run to help. I put in a call to the fire brigade, but they was already coming.
Oh, it was only a couple of minutes, but by the time we got there, things looked pretty bad.
It was chaos. Apart from me and Walter, Dan was the only one who seemed to have his wits about him. He walked around just giving orders.
Any more old, Walter?
No, Tom, I can't find none.
Well, there's a standpipe over there. The blasted hose won't reach.
How much of that tackle did you manage to get out?
Not a lot. Hooked a bit out through the broken window with a hay rake, and then the flames drove us back.
Oh. Listen a minute. Ah, that's the fire engine now.
Kind of took them above 15 minutes to come from Hollerton. Oh. That's darn good going.
Hey, ambulance too, by the sound on it.
Keep out of the road and let him get at it.
Right.
Tom?
Yes, Dan?
Show where the water is, will you?
Righto. Water's over here, you chaps.
Right, old face.
Stay here, Walter. Do what you can to help, will you?
Right, old Dan, lad.
It must have been horrific.
Well, it was only horrific afterwards when we heard that she died.
Yeah, Phil went off in the ambulance. I was at Brookfield with your grandfather.
We stayed on to make sure things was under control, didn't us, Tom?
We did that.
Everyone must have been terribly upset. I don't know, Shula. It's a funny thing about emergencies. In an odd way, your mind starts turning to trivial things. I suppose it's a sort of self-protection.
Yes. Anyway, even though we knew that the accident must have been a serious one, I don't think it crossed anyone's mind. Certainly didn't cross mine that... Well,
no, nor mine.
Oh, nor mine. We just didn't think that she could possibly be...
Oh, had somebody just come in? Not Mum, surely. It's too early for her to be back.
Yeah, might be your Uncle Tom or Phil, perhaps.
Oh, it's Phil.
Yeah, didn't expect you back quite so soon. Chris and I was... Phil. Phil there. What's gone wrong?
In my arms. On the way to hospital. She's dead.
Are you all right, Chris?
Yes. Yes, I'm fine.
Dad must have been shattered.
Oh, I think it almost broke him completely. But not only Phil. Everyone in the whole village, and elsewhere too. She had so many friends.
Oh, I wouldn't hear a word said against her.
No, nor would I.
Letters and flowers kept coming in for weeks afterwards. I suppose none of us had known such a sudden, shocking death since the war.
Poor Auntie Chris. I didn't know she was your best friend.
For a while, I was very angry with Dad. Everyone else was so shocked, and he just seemed to be carrying on as if nothing had happened.
That was his way of coping with it, I suppose.
Ah, very good way.
Yes, Dan was good in situations like that. He knew things by instinct, Dan did.
Down to earth. Oh, he was right down to earth.
Ah, there you are, Chris. Just going to see about a spot of breakfast, are you? Good job I caught you. Because you might put an extra ration or two to make a sandwich for Solomon, will you? He's come up to give you a hand, you see.
Dad, honestly.
What?
At a time like this, you talk about rashers of bacon. Haven't you got any feeling?
Yes. Yes, love, I think so. My feelings are just the same as anybody else's.
I've certainly got no appetite.
Now, look, my dear. What good do you reckon you're doing anybody by taking that attitude?
Well, it's natural enough, isn't it?
Aye, but not very helpful. Not to anybody. Now, look, me and Simon there in the milking shed, we've got the same feelings as you and everybody else, but we've still had to carry on milking, just the same as you've had to carry on feeding and watering those horses you've got there.
Well, I didn't say anything about not doing the milking or
not feeding the horses, did I? Of course those jobs have got to be done.
And the same applies to breakfast and housework and ploughing and muck spreading and everything else, Chris. Life must go on, my love. It's heartbreaking and dreadful. But it's not the end of the world. Life must go on for you, for Phil, for all of us. So let's all get busy and do something to help it.
But, Dad, why should a thing like this have to happen to us? Why? Why should it happen to us?
Things like this are happening to people every day, Chris. Every day of the week. Somebody somewhere has a thing just like this to face up to and contend with. Now, why should we consider ourselves any different from other people just because we're the Archer family? We're not any different, you know.
Here we are, piping hot from the oven. Well, what's up this time? Not more of Uncle Walter's ghost stories. You're all sitting in a row staring at the fire. You'd think this was a wake, not Christmas Eve.
Oh, well, I...
Well, don't all look at me like that, as though I was the ghost of Christmas past.
Oh, it's nothing really, Mum. You know Uncle Walter when he gets going.
Uncle Walter's the fat boy. He wants to make your flesh creep.
I'm fat? There's nothing fat about me. A bit of Battenberg, that's all the sugar I allows myself.
Oh, calm down, Uncle Walter, and have another one of your special cakes. Jill went to a lot of trouble to make them for you.
Well, go on, Walter.
What was the story you were telling that had everyone so enthralled?
Oh, don't make us sit through that again.
Oh, no, please.
I don't know where he gets them from, do you?
Too many specials, if you ask me.
But I...
Now, Uncle Walter, that's quite enough. I expect Marjorie Antrobus will drop by this afternoon, and if you aren't careful, I shall put her in charge of you.
Oh, no.
Now then, I think we should all forget ghosts and cheer up a bit.
Quite right, Jill. It's our duty to keep cheerful. Well, that's what Prue always says.
Especially at this time of year. We do have happy memories to call on.
You know, when I was in my teens, and all the childhood thrill of Christmas had worn off, I started to think it was all a bit of a bore.
I suspect Elizabeth still does.
Oh, she liked parties, though. Hey, did I tell you they'd had three at the
Yes. But in the last couple of years, it struck me that it's really more important.
How do you mean, love?
Well, I don't know, really. I suppose it just seems like a time to sit back and reflect on your blessings.
Ah, that's true enough.
I mean, just the simple things. Families, of course, and friends. But even things like being alive another year.
Mm. Oh, but there's plenty as didn't live. Dan and Laura and...
All right, say it. And Bob Larkin.
Oh, Uncle Tom, come on, don't upset yourself.
Oh, Shula's right. At this time of year, I keeps finding myself thinking about him. How he'd be here today if it hadn't been for that night Phil and I went out determined to catch our poacher.
Is that you, Phil?
Yes, Uncle Tom.
You hear that blooming dog? Something must have disturbed him.
Yeah. Let him go, wasn't he?
Yeah, it certainly was. Now, I went through the top half of the dogs just on dusk, Phil. Uh-huh. Pushed most of the birds down this way. And I reckon this is where they'll have to come to find them.
What do we do then?
Well, keep a quiet patrol through the whole cover. Mm-hmm. If here's nothing, meet back here. Same spot every hour. All right?
Yeah. All right, then.
Right. Off you go, then. And be as quiet as you can, lad.
Yeah. Righto.
But it was me who'd come across him in the woods. Bob Larkin. Oh, I'd never liked him anyway. And people said he'd been making noise at my Prue. Underhanded type. I told him where to get off, don't you worry. And I'd have given him a good hiding too if he tried his luck with her. I suppose it was a bit awkward us being on such bad terms like that, though.
What are you doing with that bird?
Huh? What's it?
All right, you monkey. Come on, the game's up.
Why, you, Tom!
Oh! Oh! So dust up, you won't, is it? All right, my beauty. Oh,
give me that gun!
You swine! Oh.
Let go of it, blaster!
No! Oh.
Get out, you! Go on!
Trying to whistle down my throat, are you?
Let go of that gun, you fool!
I'll give you a right old basket.
Oh!
Uncle Tom!
Over here!
Well, hold them, Lighter!
Oh, my wrist!
Leave go, then! Go on, let go!
Uncle Tom! Uncle Tom, are you all right? Uncle Tom!
Here, quick, bring your torch. Hurry, Phil.
My, What's happened? Well, you're covered in blood.
I'm all right. Shine it on him down there. It's Bob Larkin.
Bob Larkin? Oh, my God.
Silly fool. If he hadn't twisted and squirmed like that, he'd probably be alive today. But no. He wasn't man enough to stand still and take a pasting. Well, it wasn't my fault, was it? I mean, it's normal to carry a gun when you're a gamekeeper. Not that the police had a common sense to see it that way. First, the local boys turned up, and then Detective Inspector Worth. And it was almost dawn by that time.
He swung that 410 line there up towards me, you see, sir. I had to close with him and try to grab it in case he used it. And then, when we fell over through that hazel clump there, well, I don't know what happened. It went off.
I saw them crash through there and heard the bang.
Well, I must tell you I'm arresting you, Mr. Forrest.
What?
Arresting?
Yes. Arresting you on a charge of killing that man there, who I understand is identified as Bob Larkin.
Murder?
You're not obliged to say anything in answer to the charge, but anything you say may be taken down and used in evidence.
I never murdered anybody in my life.
Of course he didn't.
That's not for you to decide, Mr. Archer, or me, or the prisoner here. That's something that can only be decided in a court of law. Sorry, Mr. Forrest, but I'm going to have to take you in.
But you didn't have to stay in jail, did you, Uncle Tom?
Of course he didn't.
Well, I knew I was innocent. They'd let me go in the end. But first it was murder, then manslaughter, and then I was free at last.
But it was a terrible time for you, Tom.
Yes, it was. Terrible being shut up like that.
A man like you, who's always spent all of his life roaming about in the open air. I only have to think about what it would do to George.
I remember it well. Mum was so worried about you.
Oh, yes, but you remember when you come home.
I shall never forget it. Brought tears to me eyes.
Oh, there was the Bautista brass band playing.
And free drinks in the bowl. Oh, what a day that was. I decided there and then that I didn't want to leave Ambridge again.
Louise, it's me!
Come on through, Jennifer.
Hello, everybody.
Hello. Come and sit down. Have something to eat.
Yes, I'll pour you some tea.
Oh, you're looking very glamorous, Jennifer.
This old thing? Oh, that's nothing very special.
Oh. Trust me to turn up in my old jeans.
Oh. I've just come from the Echo's office party.
Oh, did they have goings-on?
I hope Elizabeth wasn't joining in any goings-on.
It was all quite harmless, really. Hmm. You know that game where you have to pass a matchbox through somebody's clothes?
No, but I reckon I'd like to learn.
Too old for that sort of thing.
Oh, I ain't too old for a bit of slap and tickle.
There's no need to worry about Elizabeth. It wasn't a very dangerous party.
I think he seems a bit on the rude side.
Oh, here's your tea, Jennifer.
Have you got enough to eat there?
Oh, don't be such an old stick in the mud, Uncle Tom. You remind me of the way people used to go on when I was Elizabeth's age. And I didn't do too badly, did I? Mum and Dad were always on at me. Just like you and Phil go on at Elizabeth. Dad was the worst. All he wanted me to do in life was stand behind the bar at the Bull pulling pints.
Well, he was full of ideas, your dad was.
Not a great one for carrying them out, though, was he?
No.
What's the use of hoping or expecting anything from kids? They go their own way in the end.
And what did you want Jennifer to do, then? We never tried to dissuade her from being a teacher.
Because that was obviously what she wanted. But I'd have liked to see her go through the British Hotels and Catering Association course. Be apprenticed and go right through.
Yeah, just so she could run this place while you go gallivanting off every day, fishing or shooting or boozing with your mates.
Now, shut up. With our Jennifer properly trained for the job, not pitchforked into it willy-nilly like we were, we'd soon have this place the talk of the county.
What, the old Bull Inn at Ambridge? Never.
I've seen success stories built up out of far less promising material than the Bull. We run it quite well, but it doesn't have the touch of class that attracts the big spending tourists.
You mean you'd put special fancy foods on instead of the straightforward English dishes that we put on at the moment?
We'd reorganise everything. Make the dining rooms three times as big.
Well, where would you build them?
Over the bowling green.
Cool, golly. That would be popular among the locals, I don't think.
It isn't the locals I'm trying to attract. It's the American tourists or industrialists from Hollerton who are prepared to buy expensive meals and take expensive wines to go with them.
I don't care what you say. If you did that to the Bull, the whole atmosphere of the place would change.
And a good thing, too. Can't live forever in the past.
It's time we were open. And in any case, you talk about attracting the wealthy people, the big spenders. I vote we cater for the ordinary, everyday people as we are now.
It's hard to imagine you as a teenager, Jennifer.
Thank you very much.
Oh, I don't know.
Sometimes I look back on the 60s and think, how could I have? I mean, how could I? Remember all that peace and free love, Jill?
Me? Mm. I was too old for all that before it had even begun.
You old hippie, Jennifer.
I was a hippie. Now I'm just an old yuppie.
Is that some sort of a fish? Oh, just pass me another mince pie, Tom.
Oh, Jennifer, right, what would you like?
Oh, I'll have another sandwich, please.
Right.
Anyway, I was never really a committed hippie. I like miniskirts as well as those patched jeans and that sort of thing. I couldn't bear to be formal. I remember at Sid Perks's wedding, Lillian and I had to really struggle into those awful bridesmaids' dresses.
There. Oh, what a fuss and palaver, and all for the sake of bringing together a man and woman in holy wedlock and all that caper.
Oh, come off it. You like dressing up as much as the next one.
Oh, yes, but not like this. I feel like something off a 1915 picture postcard.
Oh, you look very nice, actually, and I'm not kidding. That dress might seem over-feminine to you, but it does suit you.
Mm, does it, do you reckon?
Mm, definitely.
Mm, well, I suppose I'd pass in a crowd. Oh, but give me the jeans or a miniskirt every time. Where's Mum? With the bride?
No, I think Mrs. Mead's with her. With Polly, I mean. Mum's putting the final touches to her own get-up. She looks very nice as well.
Yeah, Mum always comes out well on occasions like this. She pays for dressing up.
Well, I think that's about as far as I can go. The only thing to do now is to wait for the cars to arrive.
Oh, I'm ready too. Ooh, pair of good girls, aren't we? Ready before time.
You really didn't like weddings much, did you?
No. And remember the scandal when I had Adam?
There's a few eyebrows that had raised now.
Oh, rubbish! No one thinks anything of it these days.
Oh, yes, they do. If Elizabeth gets pregnant, I'll never forgive her.
But it must have been awful, really, Jennifer. I mean, in Ambridge.
Well, it was, rather.
Yes.
I was Ambridge's first unmarried mother.
No, you weren't. You wasn't the first, and I shouldn't think you'll be the last.
I was?
Rubbish. There's been lots of illegitimate babies born since the beginning of time.
People must have been awful to you.
Yes, they were. I moved down to Bristol in the end. First, I was terrified to tell anybody.
How long did you keep it a secret?
Well, not long. I went to the vicar and told him. I was too terrified to tell Mum and Dad. I'll never forget creeping into his study.
Parson has plenty of practice in the art of keeping a secret, you know. Have no fear. So out with it, Jennifer. What have you come to see me about, eh?
I've come to ask you a favour, Vicar.
Oh, yes?
I'm in a terrible mess, and yet it's my own fault. I don't blame anyone, and I'm going to face up to it. But sooner or later, my parents have got to be told, and that's just something I can't bring myself to do. And I wonder, Mr. Reeford, would you tell them? You see, I...
Yes? And what would you like me to tell them, my dear?
I'm going to have a baby.
I see. And when do you expect your baby to be born, Jennifer?
In about 6 months.
I see. And you've seen the doctor and found that everything is normal, I suppose?
Oh, yes. I've been seeing a doctor in Borchester. Everything's all right physically. But in other ways, socially, morally...
Yes? Socially, morally?
Legally.
Well, of course, those considerations bring you a lot of problems to deal with, don't they?
Yes, except, well, morally.
Do you want to discuss that aspect of it at this particular moment?
Well, don't you, Vicar? I mean, I thought you...
You thought I'd start to moralise at you, is that it? You expected a sermon, eh?
Well, yes.
My dear, what possible good would be served now by lecturing you on the virtues of chastity? It's a bit late, isn't it? Facts are facts, so let's deal with them. Now, in the first place, I'm sorry, but I couldn't agree to tell your parents for you.
Oh?
It wouldn't be fair either to them or to you.
To me, but it would make things so much easier.
If it would, my dear, I'd do it. But it won't. Whatever I said, however I put it, you would still have to face them sooner or later. I beg you, tell your parents. And those near to you will have to know, as soon as you can. But this I promise you. Once you have made a clean breast of things, then I'll be there to back you up. I'll come and see your people the same day if you let me know, if it's humanly possible.
What did Auntie Peggy say?
After the initial shock, she was very good.
But she'd got used to looking after Jack by then. She must have been ready for anything.
She went through a lot.
Jack wasn't too pleased about the baby, though, was he?
No, he threatened to chuck me out.
Yeah, Mrs. P didn't like it much either.
Oh, no, Granny P was awful about it. Took me years to learn any affection for her after that. Well, not years, months.
Did you marry Roger soon afterwards?
Soonish. He wasn't father, of course. Everybody knew that.
Three children by
three different men. Oh, Julie, yes. I think you've turned into an old prude since you've been married.
Oh, I don't mean it to sound like that. It's just, well...
And it's Debbie's birthday today, isn't it?
Yes, I never forget Debbie. I've always felt sorry for her being so close to Christmas.
Doesn't seem to have arrested her development. She's locked in her room listening to some awful music.
I remember when you were in the hospital having Debbie. We had a party here at Rookfield.
Oh, that was lovely, wasn't it?
Ah, I remember that. There was a lot of homemade wine.
Oh, strong stuff, eh?
Ah, Shuna came and gave us a serenade.
I didn't, did I?
Yes, you did, dear.
You know, it must have been Elizabeth.
No, it was you, on the recorder.
That was all your mum and dad could do to stop you from going on all night.
Oh, that can't have been me. I was such a shy thing.
Shy? You? I have to say it, Shula. Shy you weren't.
Laura, let me take your coat.
Merry Christmas, everyone. Why aren't you all eating your grub? You haven't been waiting for me, have you?
Oh, do you think we'd a dead start without you, Laura? Hey, how's things, Tony? Did you get your mother to Borchester safe and sound?
Yes, she's going to see Jennifer this afternoon.
Oh, good.
Adam sends his love and a big kiss for you, Gran.
Oh, bless him.
Look, Uncle Tom, could you look after the drinks for me? Because I've got to go and organise a surprise that Shula's got for everyone.
Oh, yes. Of course, Phil.
Good,
yes.
Thanks. Back in a minute.
None of that for me, Tom. I'll have a brandy if you've got one.
Yeah, all right, Tom, I'll get it.
Oh, thanks, Dan.
Now then, Chris, my love, can I top you up, eh?
Ooh, no thanks, Uncle Tom. This really is a bit potent.
Oh, no, I don't. How about you then, Tony?
Cool. Hello, yes, please, Uncle Tom.
Quiet, everybody,
right,
please.
Quiet, everybody, quiet.
As you've probably gathered, Shula's had a tenor recorder for Christmas. Now she's mastered the descant, and before we eat, she wants to play a carol for us.
Come on then, Shula.
Well... First of all, I'd like to play the holly and the ivy, and then the cottage...
Oh, no, I think just the one piece for now, love.
But, Daddy, I've...
Off you go, Shula. We're all waiting.
Oh, very well, Mummy.
Exactly. Just keen to show us how good you were on the recorder.
Quite sweet, really.
Sweet? Oh, I must have been awful.
No, you weren't awful, dear.
A bit precocious, perhaps.
Well, you certainly knew your own mind.
Oh, I've heard of looking back in anger, but looking back in embarrassment.
20 years from now, you might be remembering this Christmas and cringing.
Oh, don't you listen to him, love. I've seen more Christmases than you and Jennifer put together. And there's no point in feeling embarrassed about the past.
Ah, that's right enough. No point at all. Everyone changes.
I think we've had quite enough looking back for one day.
Hear, hear. It's too agonising.
Mince pie, anyone?
I must need my head examining, going along with your daft ideas.
Oh, you know there's nothing daft about it, Tom Forrest.
Well, supposing we get stuck in the mud?
Well, then I'll have to use me brute force to push us out.
I don't know what my brew would say about this.
Oh, and I don't care neither. I'm 91 and it's Christmas Eve, and that's all the excuse I needs.
So what are we going to do when we get up, Aidan Barrow?
We're going to stop the van, and we're going to switch the engine off, and we're going to listen.
Listen to what?
To the pheasants roosting, the crows settling down for the night, and the dog barking down the valley. All the sounds you get of a winter's evening.
You can open your own back door and hear them.
Not proper, I can't. Not like we'll be able to work on Aidan.
I know what you mean.
It's me Christmas tree. Watching the day finish and the night begin from the top of Aidan Barrow.
Well, I hope Nelson don't come back and find you gone.
Oh, nor Mrs. P neither. Or she'd have something to say about it.
You might just as well have married the woman. The trouble she causes you.
Yes. That's been me lot in later life, Tom. To be almost married to Mrs. P, but not quite.
In my opinion, Mrs. Perkins should have said yes to you a long time ago.
Oh, I thought she was going to once.
So did we all. Hey, remember how you gave her that pony and trap?
I was doing all right with her until Arthur come along.
Oh, Arthur Perkins. He fair swept her off her feet.
Huh.
Her second Perkins, wasn't he?
One Perkins too many, if you ask me.
Cruises and trips all round the world. Heaven knows what else.
Yeah, and it ain't altered her one jot.
She might just as well have stayed in Ambridge.
Oh, you seize a bit of life if you stays put, I reckon.
Well, I've never wanted to go nowhere.
Mrs. P nearly dead. There she was waiting for Mr. Wonderful to whisk her off to get married in them foreign parts.
Ah, and he didn't turn up. Do you remember how Peg and Jack and Doris was in the house with her? I often wonder what got said between the four of them that day.
Well, I've got my ticket for the cruise. Passport and everything.
Got your money?
Yes, traveller's checks and everything. At least Arthur's got them.
Arthur? You mean Mr. Perkins is holding your money?
Yes, he's got a proper lock-up briefcase that he's put in all our money in, because, you see, there'll be different currencies and everything. He explained it all to me.
Well, what about your luggage? Trunks and everything? I offered to see to that for you, but you said Arthur Perkins was doing it.
Yes, he took charge of all that. He knows all the whys and wherefores, you see. He's made a study of foreign travel. But I do wish he'd hurry up, though. 11 o'clock, he said. He's always such a punctual man.
Did he say anything else? I mean, you're sure he said he'd pick you up here?
Yes. Oh, I do remember he did say something about a little surprise I should get.
Oh, did he say whether it would be pleasant or unpleasant?
He didn't say, but I took it to be pleasant, naturally.
I don't like the sound of all this.
You don't think he's standing me up in front of all me friends like this, do you?
With all your traveller's checks and your luggage? I wonder.
No, of course he wouldn't. Don't talk so silly.
Oh, my goodness, whatever's that?
It's all right, Mum. It's Arthur.
Oh, thank goodness.
Hey, do you know what the cheering was for?
No, what?
He's arrived driving a very nice new car.
Eh? Well, let's see. Oh, my goodness me, that must have cost a lot of money. But you can't use a car on a cruise.
Polly? Where are you? We're off.
Oh, Arthur, I thought you were never coming.
Oh, I got stuck in a traffic block in Hollerton. What do you think of your new car?
Eh?
Well, our new car. We shall drive quietly down to Southampton and store it there till we get back. This is a surprise I planned.
Oh, well, my goodness me. Isn't it exciting?
Exciting? Oh, this is only the beginning, Polly, my dear. You'll wait till we're in Italy or Egypt or India.
Mm-hmm. Did you put my seasickness pills in me bag, Peg?
Yes, Mum. Take care of her, Mr. Perkins. She's the only mum I've got.
I will, my dear.
Now, where are the children?
They're Pete? All outside admiring the car. Now, chin up, no tears, and out we go, Polly.
Well, goodbye, everybody. Look after Peg, Jack.
Of course.
And don't forget to write.
No, I won't, Mum.
I'll let you know where I am and when and where we get married.
Yes, righto.
Bye-bye, Mrs. Archer.
Goodbye, Mrs. P.
I'll come and see you.
Yes.
Now, Polly, mustn't start crying as we go out or people will think you're regretting it all.
Of course you mustn't, Mum.
Don't worry about her, you good people. I'll look after her, I promise you.
You'd better, because if you don't, we'll find you out wherever you are.
Jack.
Oh, just thought I'd warn him. No hard feelings, Arthur.
I quite understand, Jack. No offence at all. Come on, Polly.
Yes, bye-bye,
bye,
Mum.
Have a lovely time.
Goodbye, Mrs. P. We shall all miss you very much. God bless you and keep you safe always and happy.
Just think, if I'd have married her, I'd be Coroner Polly to this day.
If you had married her, you'd be a very different man, Walter.
Oh, sort of cowed, you mean?
Caved and humble, in my opinion.
Are we stopping?
I reckon this is as far as I'm going.
Oh, yes. You can get a good view from here. Hey, look at the fog coming up out of the Am.
Weird, isn't it?
Peaceful.
Smoke rising out of folks' chimneys over in the village. Look, as straight as a pencil.
It's home. And now I never want it to be nowhere else.
Are you sure your Nelson won't be worried about you?
And what if he is?
Yes, well, I reckon he's caused you enough worry in his time.
Oh, he's a good lad, Tom.
It was him as made your hair go white.
Oh, well, it would have gone white anyway.
Ah, there was a time when Nelson put yours on you.
Did he? I've forgotten.
Forgotten? Forgotten how you thought he was dead, and then met up with him again in Gloucester Jail? Forgotten the great mail van robbery? Well, it's only 20 years ago.
Nelson.
Why, what's he done now?
It ain't what he's done. It's what's happened to him. It was the plane, you see. It stopped for refueling. It was all right then. Only a few hours and he'd have been home. Oh, dear, oh, Lord.
Oh, Walter, whatever's happened?
It was due to land 6 hours ago, but there's been no word of it. Just disappeared and my Nelson with it. The plane just ain't arrived, Doris. The plane ain't arrived.
Oh. Hello, Dad.
How do, Nelson, lad? You don't mind me coming to see you?
Mind? Why should I mind?
Oh, all sorts of reasons.
Yes, now I come to think of it, the denizens of Ambridge will no doubt do all they can to make it hot for you.
I know there you're wrong, Nelson. Folks is being very kind.
I see. That's the way they're playing it, is it?
How do you mean?
Offering their heartfelt sympathy to a poor old man whose only son turned out to be a ne'er-do-well. I'm quite sure the Ambridgeites have blackened my character to the utmost limits.
They'm not a lot of unfeeling thickheads, you know, Nelson. They'm honest, decent, hard-working...
Yes, go on, say it. My most unfavourite word.
Respectable...
That's it. That's the one. Respectable.
Well, they am, lad.
In that case, I'm delighted to be the opposite of respectable, whatever the word is for that.
I've always been proud on you, lad. Always.
But now you're not.
Who said any such thing?
Well, you did speak as if it was in the past.
Well, it ain't. I'm still your dad and I'm still proud on you. Though I must say it seems mighty strange to be sitting here in this place talking to you. After we all thought...
Oh, that. Yes, I was very sorry about that. It was, of course, a complete misunderstanding. You do know that.
Misunderstanding? Well, how could it be?
I wasn't on the plane that crashed. My plans were changed at the last minute.
Oh, I thought I should never see her again, Nelson. And if they should decide as you... Well, as you am responsible for this here robbery job, well...
You mean, if I was found guilty, I should be sent to a maximum security prison for quite a number of years?
More years than I shall ever see, Nelson.
Then let me set your mind at rest, Dad. My plea will be not guilty.
It is Saturday midday, and there's good beer being served up at the Bull, but no Walter Gabriel helping to sup it.
You see, the place don't look lived in without you there, Walter. So me and the city thought we'd come and rout you out.
Yeah, you don't need to bother your heads about me. I ain't likely to sit and sulk because of this bit of bother my Nelson's found himself mixed up in.
Eh?
And in case anybody should be asking you about it, you can tell them from me that me and Nelson knows as he's innocent. And me and Nelson will act accordingly. The police might have him charged, but they ain't made the charge stick yet. And if they tries to put an innocent fella down, and that innocent fella's my son, then there'll be hell to pay, and I means it. Hell to pay.
I hope all goes well with him, Walter. Wish him all the best.
So say all of us.
Are you alone, Dad?
Well, nearly. It's only old Tom.
Tom Forrest?
Yes.
The biggest blabbermouth in Ambridge. Oh, well.
Here, now, steady on, Nelson. What's a-going on? You acting like the fugitive or summat.
That's just what I am, a fugitive. But not in the way you may think. Anyway, I think I pulled it off without being spotted. So, here we are again, Dad. Well, aren't you pleased to see me?
He didn't stay long, did he?
No, he's never stayed in Ambridge long. He's always had business elsewhere. A bit of a businessman, my lad.
Is that all right?
Hear that?
No. What?
He wants to wash your ears out, Tom Forrest. It's one of young Christine's horses calling good night to its friends.
Well, it's getting dark. Want to go home?
No, I don't. I wants to watch.
Well, what do you think you will see, Father Christmas?
Very funny.
Hey, do you remember how Christine used to go point to point in?
Yes. Her and Paul was always good for the flutter.
She's got back into racing again, after all these years.
Things always goes full circle. When you've lived as long as I have, you'll learn that.
Never been what you might call a champion, though, has she?
No. But has ridden some good horses and has ridden them well. And I reckons Dan and Doris was proud enough of her, whatever happened.
Well, Jill, do you want to save her on the grey or not? Better buck up and make up your mind, or I shan't have time to get it on.
Oh, yes, please. Put me a couple of bob on.
Oh, going in with both feet, eh? That's bound to bring it down to evens. Shan't be a second.
Yeah. It looks as though they'll be soon off now.
How did the party go, Jill? Everybody said it was a great success. I hope they weren't just being polite.
Oh, I'm sure they weren't.
Hello. Which is that playing up?
Where? Oh, isn't that the one Chris had at Walton Grange? You know, the one that kept nuzzling the gate open.
I believe it is.
Chris was saying at the party that they must have had it well corned up. Well, perhaps we ought to put our money on that then.
Oh, well, your two bobs on, Jill.
Good.
The bookie almost fainted with the weight of it. He starts to lay it off at once.
Silly.
Yeah, they're coming up nicely now.
Gosh, I hope Chris wins this.
Yep. Here we go. They're off. She's 4 or 5 lengths in the lead already.
She can't keep up that pace.
Oh!
By Jove. Our Chris was well clear of that lot.
One of them's down.
They were too bunched going over the jump.
The grey's still loping along very comfortably, though. Bags of reserve there, I'll bet. And Betty Cartwright uses her head as well as her hands. I still think she'll be there at the finish.
Oh, blow Betty Cartwright. You concentrate on our Chris.
Yeah, now I come to think of it, Paul said something to me last night that Chris was going to keep well out of the ruck if she could.
Yes, I begin to see why. There are 1 or 2 pretty green horses and riders in this field.
Yeah.
The ladies' race is becoming far too popular.
Chris is increasing her lead.
So, watch her over this next jump. It's a pig.
Good old Chris.
Huh? Seems to have plenty of strength there, Phil.
Only 2 horses in it, Christine and the grey, and the rest nowhere.
Come on, Chris!
Hold on, Dulwich, and I'm first my eardrum.
Well, give the girl some encouragement.
Hey, midnight's flagging a bit. See there?
Oh, rubbish and stuff.
Aye, Phil's right. I wonder if Chris can hold her up long enough.
She's all right.
Well, watch this next jump. That'll show.
Aye, she's holding that lead. If she can coax Midnight over the last few jumps, she'll manage it yet.
Yeah, come on. Hold your breath. Now then, Chris, gather her.
Oh, she's down.
horse seemed to change its mind about the jump halfway over. Our Chris went to Perla too.
Dan, what do you think she's done?
She's getting up.
Oh.
Good old Chris. See that shake of the head? Always the same when she comes a cropper. I bet she is cussing herself to death right now. Everything in her favour, and she goes and does a belly flopper across a perfectly simple jump. Hey-ho. That's pointer-pointing, that is.
Oh, dear. Oh, she's a good girl, Christine. And it's a shame she never had children of her own.
Well, we was happy fostering, Prue and me.
Oh, yes. Sorry, Tom, I forgot. I was just thinking how much Dan and Doris wanted Chris to have a babby.
Well, they didn't need to worry, did they? Because there was other archers, what you might call prolific.
Oh, is that what you says these days when somebody has a babby out of wedlock?
I don't know what it's called these days. I just know young Jennifer caused a lot of heartache.
Oh, before she had the babby. But when he was born...
When he was born what?
When he was born, there was rejoicing, Tom. Father or no father?
No further news, Mum. Of course, you know about the message we had at lunchtime.
No, has it started?
Yes, she was just starting. But they said not to ring before 6 o'clock unless they rang first.
Oh.
I do wish I could be there.
Oh, now, you know what Jennifer said, Mum.
Where's Dad?
Having a word with Jack.
Oh, no, I'm not. I've had that. Hello, Peggy, love.
Hello, Dad.
Is everything all right?
She's in labour, Dan. Might be any time now. Peggy's got to ring after 6 o'clock.
Oh. Look, let me pour you a cup of tea, Mum.
No, thanks, dear. Oh, listen, is that the village clock?
Oh, let's have a look. Ah, that's about right, too.
Then here goes.
Got the number, Mum?
Yes, it's on the pad here by the phone, and the Borchester dialing code. Oh, do sit down, Mum. And you, Dad. Lillian, pour them some tea.
No, thanks, dear. We've not long had ours, had it early specially.
Oh, no.
What is it, love?
Oh, that's impossible. I've only dialed 2 numbers, and I've got the engaged tone. Oh, really, at a time like this... How can the number be engaged when I haven't dialed it? Oh, really?
No, it isn't the number that's engaged, Peggy, love. I'm afraid it means the telephone lines to Borchester are engaged. It's a busy time, you know, just on 6 o'clock.
Try again, love.
Oh, what's the use?
Oh, go on, Mum.
Oh, all right.
Do sit down, Dan, and stop fidgeting.
What?
Oh, dear. Shall I be glad when this is over?
That goes for all of us, love.
Oh, is that your dad on the stairs, Lillian? Keep him down there until I've got through, will you?
Yes, righto, Mum.
Thanks. Oh, hello. Borchester Hospital. Maternity wing, please. Oh, dear, this waiting. They all seem so calm, don't they? Hello, yes? Maternity wing. I want to make an inquiry. Archer. Jennifer Archer. I'm her mother. Is the baby born yet, please? It is! A boy!
It's a boy, Dan!
And how is she? Oh, that's splendid. Oh, thank you very much. How much did it weigh? Oh, I see. Oh, 5:30. Yes, of course. Can I come and see her? Oh, yes, I understand.
Wait till I tell Dad. Dad, it's a boy!
Oh, what a relief. Oh, thank you very much indeed, sister.
It's a boy.
Good night. Oh, I expect you heard that. Oh, thank God, it's all over.
Oh, all right, dear. Don't bottle it up.
Everything's all right, though, isn't it, Peg?
A boy, eh? When was it born?
About... Oh, I'm sorry. Such a relief to know that she's all right.
Folks came to accept Jennifer and young Adam, didn't they?
Oh, well, most did. At least her immediate family stood by her in her time of need.
Oh, so you don't call Mrs. Perkins immediate family, then?
Well...
You don't reckon a grandmother's immediate family?
Well, she came round in the end.
Ah, after leaving the village in high dudgeon because of that baby. Oh, she's always been a one for high dudgeon.
Oh, but she come back, Tom. Mrs. Perkins has come and gone, I don't know how many times. But she always comes back to Peg and the family.
Don't upset yourself, Mum.
But I think that's awful. For your Granny Perkins to come to Ambridge and to go to Walter Gabriel's without so much as looking in here to pass the time of day. My own mother.
Well, Uncle Tom probably made a mistake or got it wrong or something.
Your Uncle Tom knows your Granny Perkins as well as I do.
Well, she wouldn't come all the way to Ambridge just to see old Walter, Mum. Talk sense.
I hope not. Oh, this'll be your granddad Archer, Lillian. He's having a bite to eat and a chat with your dad. Let him in.
Oh, right. Welcome, O father of all the Archers. Oh, it isn't.
If I look like anybody's father, I must say I've changed a lot since I was here last.
Oh, Gran. Good old Granny Perkins. How lovely to see you. Come on in out of the cold. Mm.
Well, there's Lillian, then. Pooh, you smell of horse.
Well, it goes with my job, I'm afraid. But I do bath and put on a different perfume in the evenings, Gran.
Oh, I'm very glad you do. Hello, Peg.
Mum, hello. And I thought you'd pass us by.
Did you think I'd come to Ambridge without calling to see you?
Well, anyway, come and sit down and take off your clothes. You're just in time to have lunch with us.
Hmm, that's what I thought. I'm no fool, you know. Oh, that reminds me, before I forget, Peg. I just rushed off this little thing. Might come in useful somewhere.
Oh, Mum, a little romper suit. Is it for Adam?
Well, I can't think of anybody else it would fit.
Why didn't you send it to Jenny for yourself? She'd have liked that, Mum.
Oh, well, I didn't want to embarrass the girl. How are they?
Oh, they're very well, Gran. And little Adam's just adorable.
You'd simply love him, Mum, really you would. And Jennifer's bringing him up beautifully. She doesn't let him lack for anything. You must see them.
Yes. Yes, I must, Peg. But now I've made up my mind that I want to see them, well, I think maybe Jennifer will feel why should she see us. I made the breach, and it's up to me to heal it. But it takes two to do that. And let's be honest, I don't really deserve any overtures from Jennifer, do I?
Oh, what absolute rubbish.
Hear, hear.
You take off that coat and hat and the three of us will sit down to lunch and hear all about everything and we'll give you all our news as well. Oh, this is as good as a tonic to me.
She come back all right, oh,
there you are. Mrs. P don't bear grudges for long, does she?
Only a year or so in that case.
Oh, well, she's here now, and that's all that matters.
Well, my feet are getting frozen off. But I suppose that don't matter much.
Hey, you cold, are you?
It's Christmas Eve. There's a fire and a pint in the bull, and here we are, sitting up on Aiden Barrow in the dark.
Hey, look, you're right, it's dark already.
Well, how about these two old codgers heading for home?
Oh, old codger yourself, Tom Forrest. I'm seriously considering proposing to Mrs. P tomorrow. It being Christmas and all.
You gets dafter as you gets older.
Tom?
Yes, Walter?
Can we come up here again of an evening?
Yes, Walter. And now, let's get back to the village for a few festivities, shall we?
Right, old Tom. Let's go home now.
You'll have to speak to the police.
The police?
This isn't any old outside broadcast, Val. Phil Archer's marrying Grace Fairbrother.
I know that, but Tony...
Now, my OB van has to be right outside the church. Now someone's leaked the recording date to the press.
Was that Godfrey, do you think?
I wouldn't put anything past him if he thinks it's for the good of the Archers. But it won't be if there's nothing to go on air because I can't get my van through the crowds.
Right.
Who's Godfrey got in there?
Is Anne.
Oh. What's it about?
I've no idea. Do you think we should...
No. No, no, best not. It sounds as though she's giving as good as she gets, doesn't it?
Hmm. Anyway, the police. I'll get on to them.
Thanks. Why we can't simply record in studio, I don't know.
It's the wedding of the century. The one the listeners have been waiting for 5 long years.
Don't we know it?
Tony, surely we'll have to...
I'll sell you out!
Is Anne, are you all right?
I'm fine, thank you.
I can't leave her like that.
Is Anne? Is Anne? I'm sorry, but we couldn't...
Valerie.
What was it all about?
Nothing. Don't get involved.
But, oh, is Anne... Picking a fight with Godfrey. He's the boss.
Yes, he made that point several times. As if we don't know.
I hope he won't take it out on you.
Oh, we'll have to see, won't we?
No, you'll be fine. You're going to be Mrs. Grace Archer.
We present Dead Girls Tell No Tales by Joanna Toy. With Simon Russell Beale as Godfrey Baisley and Eleanor Tomlinson as Suzanne Churchman.
We love you, Phil! Welcome to Shanklin!
Give us a smile, Grace!
Phil, Grace, over here!
Hello, hello, thank you!
I feel like royalty.
Who? Princess Margaret?
Grace has got her man. Will she, poor thing?
Oh, look, Suzanne, the banner.
Shanklin Carnival welcomes the archers. Thank you, thank you.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Go on.
Suzanne, sure your real husband isn't in the crowd?
As if he'd mind. Go on.
Call her a kiss. Give her a smacker. You're a married couple now, aren't you?
Oh, heck.
Come on, Norman, don't be shy.
All right, then. But you're asking for it.
There, there's nothing like giving the public what they want.
When are you two going to start making babies, then?
I'll see what you've done.
Who knows? If he asked me nicely, I just might. But it's all in the lap of the gods.
I think you mean Godfrey, don't you?
Valerie, can I...
I'm at a really exciting bit.
Oh, what's that?
Dr. Cavendish has found Carol sobbing in the pump house.
Oh, yes, that's a good scene.
Hang on. Oh, I feel quite wrung out. Do you want me to check something?
No, I want you to listen.
Listen?
Yes, yes, and close your eyes.
Close my... But, Tony, if Godfrey comes back...
Come on, and no peeping. Close your eyes.
All right.
Ready?
Yes, get on with it, whatever it is.
Right. What does that sound like?
Nothing on earth.
Oh, Godfrey.
Well?
Oh, I know. It's Fairbrother's cow, the one with Warblefly being treated.
Exactly.
Well, it sounds nothing like. No, no, you'll have to go out and get a real cow being scrubbed down.
Do you think so?
Yes, I do.
Oh.
The archers may be on a tight budget, but a doormat, a bucket of water and a scrubbing brush to stand in for a cow. Not while I'm editor.
I'll find a farmer.
You do that. Have you done those letters yet, Valerie?
Yes, they're here. Mm-hmm.
I wonder how Suzanne and Norman are getting on.
Oh, the Isle of Wight in this weather, lucky things. The most popular young couple in England, they say, Phil and Grace.
Are they indeed?
That was a bit mean. I thought your scrubbing was very good.
So did I. Oh, well, another weekend up the Swanee, I dare say. But if not, Valerie, I wanted to ask...
Yes?
Well, I wondered if you might like to...
By the way, everything in place for the script meeting on Monday?
Yes, the agenda's done. I've checked the travel arrangements for the writers.
The hierarchy?
They'll be joining you, Jeff and Ted for lunch as usual. And Tony, of course.
Good, and you'll have that cow recorded by then, won't you, at the weekend, if necessary?
Oh, don't worry, Godfrey. You'll have your cow by Monday.
And so I have...
We, Phil.
We, Grace and I, my wife and I, have much pleasure in declaring the 1955 Shanklin Carnival well and truly open.
Thank you so much. That was marvellous. Just the ticket. Now, if you'd like to follow Muriel, we've set up a little table for you.
This way. Thank you. Goodness,
got a lot of people, I know. Oh, mind your step.
Half an hour of autographs, a quick tour of the stalls, and then we're off.
Suits me. I doubt I'll get away without bowling for a pin.
And where exactly will you keep that? At your digs?
Don't worry. I've got absolutely no ball skills.
Will this be all right for you here? You're in the shade.
Perfect, thank you.
There's a crowd three deep already, but I'll keep them away till you're settled.
That's very good of you. There you go, my dear.
Thanks.
It worries me, you know, this adulation.
Norman, enjoy it while it lasts.
I know, I should, but, well, that row I had with Godfrey when I first started, I wasn't happy.
You were quite right to stand up to him. If more of us did...
We can't, can we? We depend on him for our livelihoods.
And he knows it. He plays on it. It's a scandal.
He called me a silly young fool. Said I got a job for 10 years if I wanted it.
There you are, then. You're all right.
That was 5 years ago. But now Phil and Grace are married. You know how it is. Happy couples don't make for good drama.
Norman, can you honestly see them bumping off Phil? Or the lead, for heaven's sake?
Maybe, but in a radio show. With commercial television starting up, the whole program could be for the chop.
Oh, come on, most people haven't even got a television, and those who have aren't going to abandon radio. They can have both.
They are not long the days of wine and roses.
You and your old poets. I know what you'd do if you ever were dropped, or if they did take the programme off. You'd go and be some stuffy old professor in a dusty old university like you've always wanted.
Don't think I'm not tempted. What about you?
Me?
Yes. You should put together a showreel, Izan. I bet you'd do very well on television.
No, I don't know about that.
Oh, excuse me. I don't want to rush you, but are you ready? Can I let them through?
Yes, yes, do.
Thank you. They're so excited to see Phil and Grace in the flesh. No, one at a time, please. There's no need to push. Phil and Grace will be here for a good while yet. Oh,
Phil. If only they knew. I hang him up on a peg when I leave the studio.
Fresh air. Relatively.
Godfrey, sorry. I wanted to catch you before you left. I fixed to record that cow tomorrow morning.
Saturday, good.
Yes, and I've managed to get my hands on an EMI midget.
What?
It's a brand new type of recording machine.
Oh, good, good.
Anyway, what'll you be doing at the weekend?
Me? Thinking.
Ah. I saw that the sheep had moved. Mm. Your little model farm in your office. You've moved the sheep at Brookfield.
I've got a bit more to think about than sheep, Tony. This script meeting, we need something big for September.
Yes, well, we always do, don't we? Reel the listeners back in after the summer holidays.
Yeah, when I say big, I mean really big this time.
I see.
You'll be there, won't you, on Monday?
Ah, you see, the snag is...
What?
Well, I have to edit the cow first.
Well, can't you do it on Saturday when you get back? Oh, never mind. Do it on Monday, then. But I need you there by mid-morning, no later. Understand?
Yes, Godfrey.
Night, Tony. Have a good weekend.
You too.
All right with that, Jeff?
Mm-hmm.
Ted?
Super.
Yeah, got that, Valerie.
I think so. There's trouble at the parish council meeting. Dan stands up for John Tregoran, but Dr. Cavendish gets his way, and the Make Merry Fair takes place in Pennyhasset, not Ambridge.
Great. Coffee, then. That's what it's here.
Oh, some reasonable stories so far, I suppose.
Come off it, Ted. Doris lays a crazy paving path. Christine passes a scooter test. Joe Blower buys a car.
You're right, Jeff. It's not the heady days of Dick Barton, but...
I know what you're going to say. It's work.
And I know what you're going to say. Where's the torn drawers?
Well, if we can't have Dick dangling over a pit of crocodiles, then it's only a bit of sex that keeps them listening.
Shh, sex? Godfrey's archers.
All right, then. Romance, jealousy, intrigue. Not this guff. And not cliffhangers like, oh no, Phil's been knocked out by that falling branch. The next day's writer's rage.
Keep your voice down. We could always have Joe Blur take Mrs. P out in his car and Walter gets jealous.
You can write that if you want. They're practically pensioners, for heaven's sake.
All right, tell God your idea for Carol's affair with Reggie Trentum, if she gives Cavendish and Tregaron the heath.
He won't buy that. Why does he call himself God? Because he has to be the one in control. What the heck?
It's very latest model. Portable. Records on quarter-inch tape.
I think portable's a bit of a misnomer.
Ah, is that my cow?
Morning, Godfrey. Yes, it is. I've just replaced the batteries, so we should be all right.
I bet it sounds different.
I'll let you be the judge of that.
You'll have to give me a clue.
Cow being treated for warble fly.
Ye gods. Sounds good to me.
And me.
Yes. Yes, that's much more like it. The cow did actually have warble fly, did it? Oh, never mind. Tell me later. There's a lot to get through before lunch.
Did it?
Couldn't you tell?
If you've quite finished, Valerie.
Yes, Godfrey. Sorry.
I don't want any of this next part minuted. Not any of it, all right?
Well, come on.
Certainly bold.
Bloody hell, Jeff. What's come over him?
But, Grace, why? Why her? Why then?
That's the easy bit. September 22nd? It's the night ITV starts.
It's only in the southeast, and surely it's BBC Television that needs to worry about that, not us.
Oh, for heaven's sake, girl, do you read those memos London keeps sending? Read between the lines, I mean.
Well,
this isn't about the BBC versus ITV, it's about sound versus vision. This could be the death knell for radio. How many TV sets did you tell me there are now, Tony?
One in three homes. Been going up steadily since we started.
See? We're sung.
Questions in the house, weren't there, though? About how brash independent television might be.
Yes, like in America. Sponsors and advertisements all the time. People won't like it.
The commercial boys have got around all that.
They are going to be regulated, I suppose.
I'm telling you, this could be the beginning of the end. Of course our TV people are worried. For them it's like the coming of electricity for a firm selling gas mantles. But for radio, well, it's...
We're more like a little shop selling candles.
Very good, Tony, quite. Well, what have you two got to say for yourselves? You've got to write it.
I'm just thinking about the story, Godfrey.
Yes, is Grace the right character?
What?
Well, there's plenty of others we could lose.
Who, for example?
Peggy.
Are you mad? She's the mother of three children, for heaven's sake.
Exactly. Makes a great story.
No, not Peggy.
All right, what about Carol?
Nobody cares about Carol. She's too new.
Christine, then?
With all the nice little stories we're going to get out of that scooter of hers? No. It has to be Grace.
But we've only just got them married. Everyone loves them being together.
Well, not everyone likes her, you know. They think she gives Phil a hard time.
Yes, well, she does. His aunt may look all sweetness and light, but she's a little vixen underneath. As Grace, that is. Anyway, that's you writer's job. Warm her up, get them to like her, then we bump her off.
Well, it's the baby business that's the key, isn't it? If she gave way on that...
Oh, you wouldn't kill her in childbirth.
You'd frighten every woman in the country.
Well, we don't want a lingering illness, do we?
No,
it'll have to be an accident. Motor?
Not another.
What about the squire's bathing pool if this weather continues?
Hang on. It's not really Grace's story, this, is it?
Eh?
No, Jeff's right. It's not about her. What we need is for Phil to come out of it the hero.
I'm not having him save her.
No, but he's got to try.
He's not going
to
look very heroic if he can't even give his drowning wife the kiss of life, is he?
Difficult effect, too.
What about the horses?
A riding accident.
Well, something to do...
You're right. Grace lives for her horses and could die by them.
Yes. All right, maybe. Mm. Now.
I can't believe he's really going to do it.
Don't worry, Val. You've still got to sell it to the hierarchy.
She wears red feathers and a hooly hooly skirt. She wears red feathers and a hooly hooly...
Happy now, Jeff?
The biggest story in 5 years, I'll say.
And the high-ups bought it, too.
But poor Isan.
I hope Godfrey's going to tell her. And nicely.
Whatever will she do?
Well, she's got a husband, hasn't she? Yeah, she won't be destitute.
Ted?
Well, that's not quite the point. She's an actress at the top of her game, having a good role taken off her.
All right, then. I'm sorry, but in the end, it's a darn good story for us.
But what if it all goes wrong? What if the listeners hate it?
There'll be a reaction one way or the other, that's for sure.
I shouldn't worry, Val. The way Godfrey was talking, no one's going to be listening anyway. They'll be glued to the idiot box.
They'll be listening, all right. We'll make sure we have a cracking hook the night before.
You can be sure of one thing. If it goes down well, London will take the credit. If it's a disaster, Birmingham will get the blame.
No, that's not it, Tony. If it goes well, the BBC will take the credit. If not, the writers will get the blame.
Oh, Ted.
He's right. Always the same. Mind you, it doesn't really matter either way. Any reaction will have got noticed.
True. And with any luck, it'll keep us going a few more years.
Mm. Sounds good to me. Right, Ted, to work then. Yeah, we've got a crazy paving path today.
Coming in 5.
This is the BBC Light Programme. Here is the news. Following the declaration of martial law in Morocco, the French government has agreed a programme of...
Post, everyone. Norman.
Thanks, Val.
Ooh, Mr. Popular.
Don't worry, Basil. There's some for John Tregoran as well.
I should hope so. I'm the Juve lead now. Phil's an old married man.
Juve? Has he looked in a mirror lately?
Some for Doris. Sorry for you, Gwen.
Thanks, lovey. Now, where's my little paper knife?
Harry.
Not more blokes offering themselves as Dan's apprentice. I really think Godfrey should deal with those.
And for you.
Oh, thanks, Val.
Advising Carol which of her many suitors to choose, I dare say.
Well, John, of course.
You would say that.
It'd mean a few more episodes, darling, wouldn't it?
And Isan, for you.
Thank you.
Hey, here's a good one. Dear Philip. Well, at least the Philip's in inverted commas.
Always a good start.
We are holding our village fete on August the 20th. Please could you send a boy's and a girl's name suitable for a pig?
Say again.
Bowling for it, I suppose. They had that in Shanklin.
That or guess the name.
We want a choice, as we're not sure which sex the pig will be.
Oh, priceless.
And there's photos for signing, everyone.
Not again. Oh,
I'm sorry, they've got to be done.
Oh, I'll do mine now, get it over with.
Listen to this, though, Isan. Our whole village comes to a standstill when the programme is on. We all listen and wonder what will happen. We argued as to whether you would marry Grace. Now you have, we wish you every happiness.
Oh, isn't that nice?
We've got some lovely listeners. Some of them do think it's real, though.
It is quite frightening sometimes to think we've got them so involved.
Oh, you know what they say? 5 million people can't be wrong.
Is that really the listening figure? Not something Godfrey's just invented.
I don't think even God would dare do that.
Come on, everyone. Thinking caps. A boy's and girl's names for a pig. Yeah.
Percival.
Augustus.
Bruno and Brumhilda.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Please stand by.
The new portrait of Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II by the Italian artist Pietro Anigoni was today unveiled in London.
It's only when Christine revs a thing that we're in danger of overloading, so we'll have to cheat it back a bit there.
Righty-ho. I'll reset.
What are we recording today, then?
Oh, Godfrey. The scooter episode.
Ah, marvellous. Christine blows up to Brookfield. Doris hasn't tweaked at all, has she?
No.
Thanks for your patience, everyone. We've adjusted the effects. Positions, please. Let's go again.
Well, really, Chris, I do think you should have asked us. After all, I mean, the expense and everything.
I put down a deposit out of the winnings you disapproved of so much, and I'm paying the rest off on the Never Never.
It looks like a jolly little affair.
How much was it, Chris?
I don't think that's anything to do with you.
I wouldn't want to see you done, that's all.
I take it you'll heartily disapprove as usual.
Well, it's come as a shock, Chris.
Handy little jobs, though, so long as you got a reliable one.
I think they look great fun.
Be careful with it. That's all, lass. Wish you'd said something about it before, though.
Yes. But if that's the way you want to go about it...
Look, Mum, I thought I'd get it first and have the arguments after.
That's right, you tell her, daft old bat.
The government has announced that it will, in stages, introduce a quality of pay for women workers in the National Health Service. We go over now to our Labour Relations correspondent.
Bugging me, Ted, is how to keep Christine out of the way on the fateful night. She's Grace's partner in the business, for heaven's sake.
True.
They'd phone her and she'd rush up there straight away. But we've got a couple cast of thousands already.
Well, what about badminton?
Badminton? That's a bit weak.
No, no, Chris is learning to play, isn't she? If she's on court in Borchester, they can't get hold of her very easily, can they?
Yeah, I see. Yes, all right. Yeah, I'll work on that. Thanks, Ted. Oh, but first, what are you setting up about this wretched, crazy paving?
Nothing.
What?
I won't have room. I had Godfrey on this morning. I've got yards of stuff to put in about blinking tomatoes.
Think yourself lucky. I've just done a page and a half on cleaning poultry brooders.
And now sport. England have won both the Test match and the series against South Africa. We hand over to our cricketing correspondent.
Tony, can you hear me?
Yep, go ahead, Gwen.
This crazy paving.
Yep.
It's just, Doris is already having trouble with her back. She's not going to get lumbago, is she? And I'm stuck upstairs for weeks with no episodes.
Not as far as I know.
Oh, really?
As I say, not as far as I know.
Well, what are they thinking? She's only just built a rockery. It's madness at her age.
Perhaps Dan's going to take her on as a labourer now Simon's left.
Oh, he's very funny.
Bless her. She does worry, just like a character.
It's not a bad idea, though. Dan having to cope on his own.
It'd be chaos.
Well, exactly. He's never had to shift for himself, has he? Might even mention it to Godfrey if I can get him in a good mood. All right, let's go again from the top, please. First light for the trowel. Second light is your cue to approach Harry. Stand by, studio.
What are you scratching about it out here?
Weeding the path, and a thankless job it is too. No matter how much you do it, it never looks tidy.
Looks all right to me.
It ought to. I've spent about a couple of hours doing 3 yards. You know, I think I'll have crazy paving here.
Eh?
At least it won't be such a back-breaking job getting the weeds out. Yes, I've been thinking about it for most of the summer. We'll have crazy paving.
But John's become such a bore. All I've talked about for months is this blasted make-merry fair, and now it's the village hall roof.
Oh, just say the words, Basil. Anything for a quiet life.
But I can't see my motivation. We had a nice little love triangle going, didn't we?
Well,
Carol, John and Cavendish, who, I may say, is obviously a complete charlatan. John's clearly the better bet, but now they've turned him into a buffoon. No wonder Carol won't look at him.
Afternoon. Everything all right?
Oh, fine. Thanks, Godfrey.
Terrific script again.
That's jolly good.
Marvellous stuff for John.
Good. Can't stop. Got to get on. Isan, have you got a minute?
Basil.
Well, if I learnt nothing else in drama school, my love, it's don't upset the boss.
In here will do.
Will this take long? I'm in the next scene.
Not long at all. We shan't be needing your services after the autumn, Isan.
I beg your pardon?
Your association with the archers is finished.
Finished? What about Grace? Is she going to lose the power of speech?
Don't be ridiculous.
So you're sacking me?
No, I'm simply not renewing your current engagement with the programme.
My current engagement? So is this final or not? I mean, are you just going to send her off again somewhere, like you sent me to Ireland for nearly a year?
As far as you're concerned, it's final.
So you're replacing me with someone else?
No, no, Grace won't be coming back.
Grace is going to die?
It's a wonderful story.
I'm sure it is. So when exactly...
You don't need to know exactly. As I said, in the autumn sometime. Plenty of time to put some feelers out.
Well, that's all right then.
Look, you've had some good years out of this programme.
I had hoped for a few more.
Well, it's not to be. The character's not working.
Be honest, Godfrey. This isn't about Grace, it's about me. Isn't it?
A typical actress has to be the centre of her own drama.
It's hardly unreasonable with what you've just told
me.
I've
got no more to say. And if you know what's good for you, you won't say a word either about any of this to anyone.
I hope you're not trying to threaten me.
Oh, I hope you're not trying to threaten me. Because if you breathe a word, I'll kill you off tomorrow.
Humber, Heligoland. South to southwest gale spreading from the west with rain and moderate or poor visibility.
Green light coming.
So the idea is what exactly, Mr.
I've Hayden? Told you. All week from the 19th of September on, we're recording in London as an exercise in topicality. Scripts written on the day with snippets from the news.
Yes, I get that, but why? What's the point?
The point is to show that the Archers is relevant. Yes, relevant, that's the thing.
Right, and you want me to get some reporters along?
Well, that's your job, isn't it? You are the publicity officer.
Well, I am, but you have to understand that's going to be quite a busy week for the entertainment pages. ITV starts broadcasting on the 22nd.
Yes, that hadn't escaped my notice. That's the night I'd like the reporters in.
Well, that's impossible. They'll all be at the Guildhall for ITV.
All of them? Every single show business reporter? From the Sketch, from the Mail and the Herald and the Express?
Especially them. Does it have to be the 22nd? If you're there all week, won't some other night do?
Thursday the 22nd, that's the one.
But why? Is that night's episode special somehow?
It'll be quite interesting.
Mr. Paisley, quite interesting. It's not going to be enough to tempt...
That's all I'm saying.
There must be... Can't you even just tell me what it's all about?
No.
All right. Assuming I can get some spotty cub reporters along, what time do you want them?
5 o'clock.
That's too late for the evening edition.
I know, but there's always the next day's headlines.
Headlines? I really don't
That's all I'm saying for now. You'd better get to work, hadn't you?
Right, moving on to the next scene, please, Suzanne and Norman.
Being here like this is sort of extending the holiday. Good weekend, wasn't it?
Lovely.
I didn't mind Pram pushing a bit. Do you think anybody thought it was ours? Why? What's the matter? I made a gag. No reaction.
Oh, I was just thinking.
Huh? What about?
Well, oh, I don't know. I suppose it's silly, really. But, well, having to take care of Isabel's baby over the weekend and all that.
Yeah?
I think perhaps you were right after all, Phil. And I was wrong.
Huh. What about?
Waiting 5 years.
Huh?
For a family of our own.
Ah.
I mean, it's been rather selfish on my part to insist on waiting a while and... I'm beginning to realise that now. The weekend rather brought it home to me. And I didn't do too badly managing Isabel's baby, did I?
Too badly? Why? You're an absolute natural.
Yes. Well, that's what I'm beginning to feel myself. You were right. Let's forget all of this waiting 5 years nonsense, Phil.
Afternoon, Miss Churchman.
And to you, Arthur.
If I could check your pass. Thank you. Still warm out there, is it?
Not as sunny as it has been, but still nice for September.
You're a ray of sunshine yourself, miss, if you don't mind me saying. And my wife, well, she never misses an episode of your show.
That's very nice to hear.
Phil and Grace could be here in the patter of tiny feet, she tells me.
Well, you never know.
Grace has changed her mind, apparently. Practically knitting booties, the wife says.
That may be a little premature. Oh, hello, Val.
Suzanne, I wanted to give you this. It's the script for tonight.
Oh.
I thought you might like to read it in private before the rest of the cast arrive.
Why?
Just read it. It's the last page.
Oh, my. Where is he? Where is God? You told me the autumn.
And it's September, the equinox.
Oh, please.
Thought you'd be getting another few weeks' work, did you? Sorry.
Godfrey, even if you told me last night that Grace was never going to come out of that fire...
And have you rushed to the papers? You must be joking.
But to kill me off like this, no warning!
Rubbish, I told you back in the summer.
I thought at least you'd have the decency to give me a proper death scene.
You've got that tonight.
I have 3 lines! She doesn't even have a proper farewell with Phil.
Ungrateful.
Well, you are incredible. You've lied all the way along, not just to me, to the whole cast. You dragged us down to London for this week of topicality, all a smokescreen.
And it's work. No one in the audience or the press suspects a thing. And if you've got any loyalty to the programme...
Don't talk to me about loyalty. I've kept my side of the bargain. I haven't breathed a word.
Well, you better not start now. You wouldn't want a reputation as a troublemaker, would you?
Oh, Suzanne.
I'd kill Grace. I couldn't believe it.
It's unthinkable.
Dreadful, darling. Dreadful.
How could he do it?
But look, sweetie, chin up. I happen to know they're casting a new production of Private Lives. Director's an old pal of mine. I could put in a word. Never mind that now, Basil. Someone needs to have a word with Godfrey.
Oh, don't be ridiculous, Norman. What is there to say?
That he can't do this.
Of course he can.
Well, he could try, but we don't have to accept it.
Not without some kind of protest.
What do you want him to do? Order new scripts this late in the day?
But out of the blue like this.
Yes. Had he given you no idea at all that this was coming?
You know what Godfrey's like. He plays his cards very close to his chest.
Well, I have to say, Azan, you seem very calm about it.
What choice have I got? It's too late to do anything now.
I don't agree. I still think we ought to go and confront him. All of us.
Yes. A deputation.
That's right.
Now steady on, old boy.
Please, everyone, you're very kind, but it wouldn't do any good. You'd only harm yourself.
She's right, you know.
Godfrey can do what he likes with us, just as he can with the characters.
But it seems so contrary. It took 4 years to get Phil and Grace to the altar. They haven't been married 6 months.
Never mind Grace. What about Azan?
Yes, what sort of a way is it to treat a colleague?
Exactly. What happened to loyalty?
That only works one way, dear boy. He expects it from us, but...
Basil's right. In the end, Godfrey doesn't think of us as people. We're just actors. Dispensable.
It's not very reassuring for the rest of us. I'm going to ring my agent. Tell him to put me forward for other stuff. The way Tregoran's been going, I was thinking of doing it anyway.
So first it was the Makemerry Fair, and now it's the Village Hall roof.
Is that... you really all right about it?
Yes, thank you, I'm fine.
Really? Must have come as such a shock.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, when Grace rushed back into the stables last night, roof collapsing, the place in flames, didn't you think?
No, not for a minute. We've had characters in plenty of worse scrapes than that, and they've come out all right. I thought Phil would get her out.
Oh, well, cheer up, Norman. Plenty of episodes for you as the grieving widower.
Well, I don't want them.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't.
Yes, you do. Think of all the slim volumes of poetry the fees will buy.
It won't be the same without you. What'll you do?
There's always Mrs. Dale's diary. I might go back to that.
You'll be such a loss to the programme.
Norman, you're a dear. But in the end, all we do is play a part. And my part has come to an end.
That's much better, Harry, thank you. And your approach is fine now, Norman. Thanks very much, everyone. Take 5 minutes, then we'll go for the recording.
And don't forget, the gentlemen of the press will be joining us afterwards for a playback, so no running off. I want you all there.
There's something not right.
What's that?
This last scene, the last line. I can't make it work.
Oh, come on, Norman, we've rehearsed it to death. If you'll excuse the pun. I thought you had it off very well.
No, no. She died in my arms on the way to hospital. Ah. She died in my arms on the way to... No, the rhythm, the order, it's all wrong.
Well, it's a bit late to do anything about it now, isn't it?
I'm going to talk to Godfrey.
You're never going to ask him to let you change a line.
It needs it. It needs something.
But he's never in the history of the programme let an actor...
There's no sig tune, Harry. The last line carries it all.
Well, you're a braver man than I am.
Azan won't let me challenge him on anything else. At least I can get this right.
Oh, I don't know what we're doing here. We should be at the Guild Hall.
I'm only here for the hospitality.
Yeah, the BBC's usually good for a beer and a sandwich. Yeah.
Commercial television starting. We're covering some rustics on steam radio.
My mother never misses it.
Your mum, maybe.
No, she said last night was really good. Hmm. Fire at the stables, horses going crazy.
If I could have your attention, please. We'll shortly be taking you through to the studio to hear a recording of tonight's episode to be broadcast at 6:45.
May we have a script?
No, no script, I'm afraid.
Well, can you fill us in a bit? We're not all listeners, you know.
I'm sorry, there's no time for that.
We're ready for you now. This way, please.
Thank you. Quiet, please, everyone. Playback is about to start.
The Archers, an everyday story of country folk. Phil and Grace are having a drink before dinner at the country club with Reggie Trenton, Carol Gray and John Tregoran. When Grace, in going out to the car to find an earring she has dropped, finds the stables on fire. The loft above the boxes is burning furiously. Between them, they manage to get the horses out, but midnight makes for the stables again.
Midnight! Midnight! Whoa!
What's up?
Midnight couldn't have been tied and... Look! She's going back into the stable!
No, Grace! No! Don't do it!
She's going, and after midnight, Grace!
Grace! Grace, come back! The roof's collapsing! For God's sake, Grace, come back!
Look at that roof!
Horrible!
Phil! Phil, you fool!
Let me go! Grace is in there! Let me go, blast your job!
It's suicide! If you...
Grace! Grace!
Phil, you madman!
Don't let him!
Phil, where are you?
Look out! Midnight's gone crazy!
Where are you?
Near the tap! Can't see! Grace! Grace! Oh my God! Grace! Where is she?
No! She must have... No, there! Look! Under that beam!
Get it off her! Help me! Get it off! Heave!
Rhino! Can't budge it!
Harder! Harder! Heave, Blaster! Pull your guts out!
Phil, are you all right?
Yes, I'm all right. Thanks for helping me, John.
That's okay. Couldn't do much else.
You'll be going with her, eh, lad?
Yeah.
All right, sir, if you're ready to get aboard.
Thanks. Can I sit here, beside her?
Yes.
I think she's stirring. Grace? Grace?
Phil?
It's all right, my darling. I'm here.
Phil. Phil.
It's all right, Grace. Nothing to worry about.
Phil. I love you, Phil.
Shall I make a cup of tea?
Not a bad idea, love.
Did Mum go to the pictures with Mrs. P after all?
Yes. She's missed it all.
I'm still a bit dazed by the whole thing, Dad.
Aye.
Oh, why did it have to be midnight that went back in? If Grace hadn't gone back after her...
Don't suppose they had much time to tie him up properly when they fetched him out, Chris. They had to work pretty fast, you know.
Yes. Oh, I'll never play badminton again. What a fool I was to go out.
Oh, don't be daft, love. Nobody knew the place was going to catch fire now, did they?
Had somebody just come in? Not Mum, surely. Too early for her to be back.
Might be your Uncle Tom. Or Phil, perhaps.
It's Phil.
Didn't expect you back quite so soon. Chris and I were just... Phil. Phil, lad. What's gone wrong?
In my arms. On the way to hospital. She's dead.
Miss Churchman, over here!
Miss Churchman!
One at a time, please. Did you know that Grace was going to die? Hello? Hello? Switchboard? Hello?
You won't get a line on that, I'm afraid. It's a dummy. Studio prop.
You didn't see that coming, did you? Any of you?
Oh, trust me to cop for work. You know, I wanted to watch the first night of this new telly.
Doesn't sound that exciting. A load of speeches, some drama thing, and then boxing.
Oh, well, I'd still like to have... Hey, what's going on?
The board's lit up like Blackpool.
Good evening, BBC London.
What have you done? She can't be.
I'm sorry, sir. BBC London.
Not Grace. No. Oh, poor Phil. That poor boy.
Next door invited me in for the first night of ITV and I thought I was in for a bit of a party. It was like a blooming house of mourning.
BBC London.
I don't.
I'm trying to run a factory here. This nonsense has held up production.
You will give Phil my condolences, won't you?
BBC London.
Please tell me. Where can I send a wreath?
The man's plenty cleaner. Where are we here to get out, Brandy?
She can't be. Not Grace. Tell me she isn't dead.
Crikey, Ted, what have we done?
It's terrific, isn't it?
I don't know. I'm still a bit stunned.
Have you had a letter from Godfrey?
Our post hasn't come yet.
Well, you will. Thanking us for our achievements, especially the death, and then Friday's script as well.
Oh, yes?
He's written to the cast, too. Norman rang me.
I should think so. Norman was superb.
He was. What about the papers today?
They haven't come yet either.
Just the same as yesterday. It's still front page news.
Can you believe it?
listeners sob as Grace Archer dies. That was the sketch, I think.
Wait till you hear this. A man driving from Ashford to Dover saw people standing in their doorways openly weeping.
What?
And hang on. Yeah, this is good. They found the matron of some old people's home who claims none of her residents has had a wink of sleep since Thursday. And a doctor who says the shock could damage the nation's health.
Oh, but have you got any idea, Ted? Really, I mean.
That we had this much clout? No, not for 1 minute.
Nor me.
One in the eye for ITV, though. Barely a line about them. And those that are critical of what they put out.
Incredible. Did we really get 8 million listeners for a single episode?
Yes, and 7.9 million of them have rung the switchboard, written in or been talking to the papers. Oh, and the latest, the BBC has put out a statement asking for no more flowers, please.
Well, all right, then. I suppose if they've brought them in person. Take them. But you'll have to keep them at reception. Don't bring them up to the office. It's like an undertaker's in here already.
Morning, Valerie.
Thanks. Thank you. Bye. Tony.
I thought I'd come and see how you were.
Nothing compared to how is Anne's feeling, I bet. Oh, not again. Go away.
Here. Leave it off the hook.
I can't. What if Godfrey...
You can't think straight with that ringing all the time.
No, I've been here since 6. I've hardly got anything done.
6? What time did you get back from London?
About 10 last night. You?
Midnight.
How appropriate. Oh, Tony.
I know.
What have we done?
How are you? How are you feeling?
I'm alive, so pretty good, actually.
Come on, Izan. You must feel a bit bruised.
Well, yes, I was trapped under a beam, after all.
Stop teasing. Come on, really.
Oh, Norman. It's all very strange.
I thought you were very tactful with the papers. Dead girls tell no tales.
Well, what else could I say?
I'd have let them have it with both barrels. The BBC, I mean. Godfrey.
I want to work again, don't I? There's no point being bitter. As I said, we're actors. That's all.
That's not all. I know Godfrey and Tony and Val work damn hard, and the writers, poor devils, to produce the scripts, but, well, we're the ones who make them happen in the end. They couldn't do it without us.
Except when they decide in certain cases they can, and will.
Yes, but what if the listeners turn against the programme? Some are saying they'll never listen again.
They will, and some might even start.
I don't know. You've seen what some of the papers are calling it. A cheap stunt.
No. No, Godfrey's got what he wanted, surely. More than he wanted. A wonderful story for Phil and the Archer family and pages of free publicity.
Have you had a letter?
From?
From Godfrey. A letter of thanks.
Oh, yes. Yes, I had that.
I should hope so.
I can go one better. I had one from the head of the Light Programme.
Ooh, did you indeed?
Handwritten.
No.
I write to thank you warmly for playing ball in such a truly professional manner.
What a strange turn of phrase.
I expect you didn't quite know what to say.
Oh, Izan. You will keep in touch, won't you?
Of course.
You were my wife, after all. The only one I may ever have.
I don't know what you're moaning about, man.
Mr. Paisley.
This is the best... The most publicity the BBC, let alone the Archers, has had in years.
No, I can't do that.
ITV completely wiped off the front pages.
Yes, I know.
I take it you saw the Manchester Guardian. Nice little parody.
Very clever.
She was well-loved, and millions know that Grace has ceased to be. Now she's in her grave, but, oh, she's scooped the ITV.
Mr. Baisley, I need some answers. I'm inundated here.
Good.
The Mail wants to name the guilty men. I've had the Straits Times on.
The what?
The Straits Times. The Straits of Malaya.
Good Lord.
It's gone round the world.
Incredible.
The Sketch, the Mirror, the Herald, the Express, they're all after follow-ups. Oh, and the War Cry. You know, the Salvation Army paper. They want to do a front-page feature.
Oh, all right. I'm beginning to see your point. This is extraordinary.
Yes, it is. And finally, a request for a television interview.
Ha! Television. They want to know about radio now.
So will you do it? It's for Highlight.
Never seen it. No, I won't.
Mr. Baisley.
What do you take me for? I'm not sticking my head above the parapet.
It's a very good opportunity. It's a very popular
program. I've said no.
But...
No.
Oh, all right, that's how you feel. You will give me another statement, though, won't you, for the papers?
Yes, yes, we'll work something out.
And you're sure about Highlight?
I've said no, thank you.
That's a shame. I'll turn it down, then.
No, no, no. I didn't say that, did I?
What did we say? Always the writers. Always the poor bloody writers.
Yep.
An interview on Highlight.
And Godfrey makes out he's doing us a favour.
Jeff, you never know. We might get some TV work out of it.
That's the last thing I want at the moment. How do we fit it in? We've been doing rewrites all day.
Yeah, true. Even after all the fuss, it never occurred to me we might have to pull the funeral.
Because Godfrey didn't want to upset the listeners again. What about us?
Oh, well, us.
Jack Archer at the Market Garden was thin enough as it was. Now we've got scene after scene about it.
And the inquest and funeral paid off in half a page.
It's going to sound very odd. Let's hope we can carry the listeners with us.
They're not going to desert us now. We've got Doris all maternal, clucking over Phil. And if Uncle Walter swings in and gives him this puppy, handsome young widower, cuddly animal, the great British public can't fail.
I hope not.
You'll see, they won't dare say it's all about television now. No, we're good for a few years yet.
That's what Izan thought.
Excuse me, gentlemen, if I could show you to your places?
Yes, line up the firing squad.
Oh, and a message from Mr. Baisley. He says good luck. He'll be watching the programme go out from the comms centre in Birmingham.
Marvellous. That's good to know.
It's the programme that everyone's been talking about. The Archers caused a sensation last Thursday night when Grace Archer, the wife of young farmer Philip, was tragically killed off in a fire at the riding stables. Tonight I have with me the programme's scriptwriters, Geoffrey Webb and Edward J. Mason. And the first thing I want to ask you, gentlemen, is the question listeners have been asking ever since the broadcast. Why?
Well, the Archers have had a pretty smooth life since the programme started. Nothing very drastic has happened to them, but every family has to face up to a big emotional crisis sooner or later, and we felt it was about time that the Archers faced one.
Nothing, then, to do with last Thursday being the launch of a certain rival television channel?
Nothing at all.
Are you sure about that? The Archers has dominated the headlines ever since.
The timing's not in our gift. We just write the scripts.
All right, but why did this crisis for the family have to be a death? Mr. Webb.
Nothing less than a death would do. And now we want to be able to show how ordinary people and ordinary family react to such a sudden tragedy.
But it was the suddenness of it that so shocked the listeners. There are reports of people weeping openly in the streets. The BBC's been bombarded with letters, telephone calls and wreaths.
I know. And I'm sorry if people feel badly about the death of Grace. But how do you think we feel? I can promise you, the decision wasn't taken lightly.
Maybe not, but there are calls for the BBC to name the guilty men. Do you take responsibility for so distressing the nation?
Why blame us? Do people blame Shakespeare for the death of Desdemona? Yes, but it's not why he wrote that, it's why
just dead.
You wrote...
That's a good line.
Poor devils, what a grilling.
Yeah, do them good. Writers.
Well, they turned in the rewrites for you quickly enough.
Yes, and a pretty good job of them, all things considered.
I hope we'll get away with the inquest and the funeral offstage.
Oh, detail. Jeff and Ted are following the emotion. That's the main thing.
I suppose so. Talking of emotion, Godfrey, what about all the letters? They're arriving by the sack load. Val can't cope on her own.
I've spoken to London. They've agreed I can hire someone temporary.
There's something, I suppose. I mean, some of them are quite upsetting. Not to mention the nameplate and coffin handle somebody sent in.
Yes, someone's either got a macabre sense of humour or really believes it.
Millions of people really believe it. That's what this has brought home to me.
Can you approve this press release, Godfrey, just off the teleprinter?
Ah, good. The editor, Mr. Godfrey Baisley, said the decision to kill Grace Archer was taken in order to reduce the number of characters in the programme and to exploit the situation created by the death of a major character.
That's just what Jeff and Ted have been saying.
Well, I briefed them, obviously. A BBC spokesman added Izan Churchman is an accomplished artiste and the BBC was anxious for her to come back into the mainstream of broadcasting.
Mm. Mainstream? Doesn't that imply that we're a bit of
There was no attempt to deliberately create a sensation on the opening night of ITV. Good, that's fine. Thank you, Ellery.
Thanks. I'll confirm it then.
And then go home. She's been here since the crack of dawn.
Yes? And you're her knight in shining, are you? Oh, you should both go. You've been working like stink for... days without a break. I'm grateful.
Oh, well, thank you.
Thank you. It's been exhausting, but...
Exciting.
Oh, yes, and, well, a privilege, really, to work on something that matters so much to people.
Yes, it does. And I couldn't do it without you. You know, either of you, we're a good team.
Yes, we are.
Thank you, Godfrey. I'll see you in the morning.
Val, I shan't be long. Hang on 5 minutes, I'll give you a lift.
Oh, well, thank you. That would be very nice.
I thought she lived in the other direction.
Well, she does.
I see.
Godfrey, can I ask you something? That script meeting in the summer, you were adamant it had to be Grace. What gave you that instinct?
Instinct? Nothing to do with it. You know what she was up to, don't you, Izan?
No.
She was a troublemaker. She was trouble from the start.
But Izan, I never found that...
You don't have to worry about the budget, do you? She complained about her money from the word go, said I was paying her less than the going rate.
Were you?
Well...
So you were.
She had a husband with a job in Birmingham, didn't she? Did she want to be with him and in regular work or not?
You actually said that to her. That sounds like a threat.
It was, and it worked for a while.
Until?
Well, she kept quiet, but then she was never happy. An agitator. That's what she was. Well, I showed her where that was going to get her.
What? You mean that's why you sent her, Grace, off to Ireland for the whole of last year?
I thought it might teach her a lesson. Not that it did any good.
Good God.
The listeners, the hierarchy, everybody wanted Grace to marry Phil. I'd have the wretched woman back.
I can't believe...
By then she was even worse. She's got equity involved, you know, the union, tribunals, and I don't know what else.
Well, if you weren't paying her properly...
All those chaps I'd found over the years to play Ned and Simon and Uncle Tom, proper authentic countrymen, not actors at all. But no, she wanted everyone in the programme to be in the union.
Well, yes, it's quite right.
Quite. Where would that leave me when I next came across a hedge layer with a nice line in jokes or a road mender with a good bass baritone for folk songs, eh?
Godfrey, it's got to come. Equal pay, equal rights. Every actor will have to be in the union eventually.
One day, maybe, after my time, I hope, but not yet.
But to blame Izan...
I'm not talking about blame, I'm talking about responsibility. She could have stripped me of everything.
So it was nothing to do with a good story, nothing to do with scuppering ITV?
Not really. Some kind of personal vendetta against Izan.
It was that row, you know.
Sorry?
That row we overheard. I bet that's what did it. Godfrey would never stand that from a member of the cast.
You could be right. He's an absolute one-off, isn't he?
That's one word for it.
It was for the sake of the programme, he said.
How does he make that out?
Keeping the fees low, cutting an actor. It all saves money, keeps us in good odour with London.
Even so...
Well, I hate to say it, but he may have a point. With television on the up, they're not likely to give more resources to radio, are they? So, according to Godfrey, he's saved our jobs.
It's very clever. Keeping us on his side.
He is clever, isn't he? Brilliant in his way. Created the whole thing. He got the programme going when nobody believed in it. He's kept it going. It's his world.
Oh, so he's a genius now.
I do say there's a fine line between a genius and a madman. The BBC's full of them.
It's just such a pity so many other people have to get crushed in the process.
Mm. The thing is, Val, when he calls himself God, for the Archers, it's true.
So that was how it happened, and how I, or rather Grace, came to die. Victimisation, because I'd been to Equity to get my fees put right. But don't feel too sorry for me. In some ways, Godfrey Baisley may even have done me a favour. They say that when one door shuts, another opens, and on the very night Grace died, ITV started, and immediately needed people with just exactly my experience to voice the commercials. And so I was able to make a good living from voiceovers for years. Also, of course, I was able to take part in many varied radio and television programmes again. And in the early 70s, after Godfrey Baisley had retired, I was actually invited back into the Archers. First I played Barbara Drury, the policeman's wife, and then Mary Pound, a rough-and-ready farmer's wife.
She talked like that down there.
Very different parts, and a world away from Grace. But I've never forgotten her, or the night of the 22nd of September, 60 years ago. In 2005, on the 50th anniversary of the birth of ITV and the death of Grace, I sent a card to the chairman of ITV signed, "Congratulations from Grace Archer." I hope he appreciated the joke, because I've sent another one this year, too. For me, for the Archers, and for so many listeners even today. Grace, the character, the sensation of her death, the claims and counterclaims, the myth-making, mean that she's never really died. A good story never does. The legend of Grace will live on, and I must say that I really feel quite proud to have been part of it.
Dead Girls Tell No Tales was written by Joanna Toy. Godfrey Baisley was played by Simon Russell Beale. Young Azan Churchman was played by Eleanor Tomlinson, and Norman Painting by Lex Shrapnel. John Hopkins played Tony Shryan, and Claudie Blakely, Valerie Hodgetts. John Colshaw was Harry Oakes, and Pam Ferris, Gwen Berryman. Geoffrey Stretfield was Basil Jones, Sally Breton, Anne Cullen, and Georgie Fuller, Leslie Saywood. Edward J. Mason was played by Miles Jupp, and Geoffrey Webb by David Reed. Paddy O'Connell was the interviewer, and Zepp Soames, the BBC announcer. Other parts were played by Sam Dale, Paul Heath, David Hanslow, Chris Pavlow, Jessica Turner, and Alex Tregear. Azan Churchman appeared as herself. Dead Girls Tell No Tales was directed by Sean O'Connor.
Audible hopes you've enjoyed this programme.